about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Ladies and gentlemen, for a more authentic presentation, portions of the program you are about to hear were actually recorded on the scene.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Mostly sunny today. We're looking for highs in the 60s.
Oh, Lisa, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Lisa. Hey, Lisa.
Girl, you make me wanna get you pregnant. Girl, you make me wanna get you pregnant. Lay your body down and get you pregnant.
Hey, Lisa, I heard you lied and said we didn't do it. Admit it, we doinked.
And now,
worst introduction ever. Check it.
Our feature presentation.
Check it is right.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. All new week. It is a Kevin and Bean show for a Monday morning.
What's it happening? Did you want to talk about the thing here, or are we going to save that?
Well, we could save it.
Okay. A lot of if you want to call them highlights and lowlights from the 90 hours of Super Bowl programming yesterday. And by the way, why do we need a red carpet on the Super Bowl? Why do we need to
interview
celebrities? Hey, John Travolta, who do you think is going to win? Why do we need any of that?
To get the celebrities' FaceTime on TV, I would imagine.
And how does that help me, the home viewer?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, I think that's just, you know, they're trying to get the best ratings they can, so I
appeal to a wider audience.
I don't think I've seen the level of celebrities really at a Super Bowl. It seemed like it was pretty high yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
I think it was, especially in that suite, you know, and I think some of it may have been, hey, I want to see, you know, the new Dallas Stadium, and some of it may have been, hey, I get a chance to rub elbows with former President Bush. Maybe that was part of it.
But sure.
Yeah, you're right. And John Madden is still alive, by the way. Who knew that? He was sitting right next to President Bush. You see that?
He was, yeah.
He's alive. Wouldn't I just assumed he died.
You'd love to hear the conversation between those two.
Yes.
Yes, awesome. I would. Anyway, real quick, we will, of course, have a lot to say about the Super Bowl yesterday. But here's another sports story that I wanted to make sure we got on. Because as soon as I saw this, I thought, Kevin will never hate anyone more than he will hate this guy. His name is Stephen Engels. He, on Saturday, 2 days ago, crossed the finish line of his 365th consecutive marathon.
Now, what do you mean consecutive?
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah.
I mean, every day. He ran a marathon for 365 days in a row.
Wow.
How old is he?
49 years old.
Oh, my God.
The crazy thing for me is you would think that that would be enough to keep you occupied, but he did it in 7 different countries. So, in other words, there were times where he would, you know, run a marathon, get on a plane. Like, for instance, he lives in Europe. He ran them in Spain, Portugal, Belgium. Then he flew to North America, ran a few in Canada, then went down to Mexico, the United States, and Britain. He did to all those countries. So there were days, and he said the hardest marathon, and I don't know where it fell in his 365, was he had a long flight, he was sick, he was in Mexico City, he was at a weird altitude, he had eaten something bad. He said, what am I doing here? Still completed the marathon. He ran all of them, by the way, didn't walk any of them.
Why did he do this? I'm sorry, time?
Why does anyone do anything stupid?
Yeah.
I recover quickly. His average was around 4 hours to complete a marathon. His best time was 2 hours and 56 minutes.
Slow.
That's
crazy, yeah. Right? That's super fast. But it was all downhill.
He's one of these guys, by the way, who says he wanted to do it. One of the reasons he wanted to do it was to show people that there's no excuse for not getting out there and exercising, and that if he could do it, anyone can do it, and blah, blah, blah.
That's just not true. Not anybody can do it. Yeah. That's a bald-faced lie.
Very He's few people could do that, no matter how badly you wanted to. Yes. You just can't do that.
Mike, you hang out with all the meatheads and the workout dudes. You got any marathon friends? Is that part of your circle?
Yeah, I have some friends that are endurance athletes, yeah.
And how absurd is this? I mean, how out of the realm of possibilities is this for most even accomplished athletes?
It's insane, and it's not the matter of running 24 miles every day for 50 days. It's the ability to do it, you know, when your body needs to recover. You know what I'm saying? Because the damage that it does to your body to run one marathon usually sets people out. You know, it takes them out for weeks. They have just they need to lay down and recover and let their body heal. So to do it day after day after day, it shows an unbelievable level of like resiliency. He probably had to work through so much pain.
He's going to be in a wheelchair when he's 55, right? I mean, there's no way this guy's legs are going to survive him into old age, right?
No.
I don't know. I mean, people, look, the human body's incredibly adaptive. People went through World War One and World War Two. You know, you just, it finds a way to figure out how to deal with an immense amount of stress.
And
so who knows?
I imagine he's an exception. I imagine even for endurance athletes, you know, doing that every day. But, I mean, really, what is he trying to prove? Is that it? That's the only message?
I think he's an ass.
He's trying to prove he's better than we are. Yes. That's what he's trying to prove. He said the key is to not look at it as I have, you know, 200 more marathons to run in the next 200 days. The key is to take it one day at a time, to go, I just am going to concentrate on today's marathon, and I'm not going to think about the one that I have to run tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that.
The key, in my mind, is to run a marathon and skip a couple weeks. That's the key.
That would be the key.
Instead of just focusing on today's marathon, focus on the fact that you have 5 days off now.
My key is to run a marathon and skip a couple of miles. That's what I would prefer.
All right, good.
Like about the 25 miles right there in the middle.
Have somebody pick you up in a van and drive you to the end?
Yeah. I'll run the first 400 yards, get picked up in a van, and then run the last 400 yards. That's my kind of marathon.
That's the one Bean and I ran in a marathon one time.
Yep, sure did.
We ran in a marathon with a super old guy. What was his name?
Sam Weiser.
Yeah, he was like 98, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
And
he was exhausted getting to the starting line. Remember?
That's so many people, and you're so far back that just to get to the starting line was something. And then we ran by a McDonald's and just stopped and ate. Yeah. We didn't really take it all that seriously.
I don't think we're in the same league as the 365 marathons in 365 days. But anyway, I think you will join me all in hoping that this guy just dropped in.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Did he get a haircut in any of those?
Oh, you know what? He didn't say.
Yeah.
Then I would have been impressed.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Does it disturb you that so many people hate you?
No. Thank you for asking, though. We got Super Bowl highlights today.
Yeah. I just wish the Black Eyed Peas could sing live on my TV every day.
They're not
good, talented.
I don't mind their records as much.
Mm-hmm.
But live, it's really hard for them to pull off. And I thought the sound was horrible. Am I the only one?
The sound or their sound, or both?
The sound of the halftime show.
All right.
I mean, even the songs that sound good on the record, they sounded terrible.
They're horrible. They're a terrible band. That's what we've been saying.
Well, I know you've been saying that. I don't think they're a terrible band. I think they're average.
I'm telling you, they are.
All right. Well, they were. I'll tell you that. So we'll talk about that. We will talk about our new singles party.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Which, by the way, is this weekend. So we'll give you all the details on that coming up. We're going to talk to Jennifer Beals, who is the star of The Chicago Code, which is a great show. I can't wait tonight.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.
He's got big doings for us today because apparently Lindsay Lohan is going to be charged with a felony for stealing that necklace.
A felony. Oh, I didn't realize. I heard that they were accusing someone of stealing it, and she said no, but I didn't hear they were actually going to tie it to her. Would you like to take that back today?
Yeah.
Going to talk to Florence from Florence and the Machine about her being on Gossip Girl.
Oh.
That's her latest
name.
Okay.
And Petros Papadakis will be here to talk sports as well and to recap the Super Bowl. So that's coming up. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 5:47.
I'm always surprised when everyone on the Kevin and Bean Show shows up for work on time and relatively healthy on Monday. Survive the weekend. We're all here.
We are professionals.
That's what we're known for.
Professionals. Look it up.
Look it up in the book.
Hey, Ralph Garman, how was your weekend, man?
It was jam-packed full of food and football.
By the way, I know they moved the Pro Bowl to before the Super Bowl.
Yes.
But now that's you see what a bad idea that was, because you used to have a kind of a soft letdown at the end of the football season, because at least you had the Pro Bowl. It wasn't good, but at least it was football. Now the Super Bowl ends and it's over. It's just done.
But no one watched the Pro Bowl after the Super Bowl.
But it was still over at the Super Bowl. But it was there. At least you could turn on the TV and see professional football.
Right, but
no one did that.
But when
you watched the Pro
Pro Bowl when it aired, though, Ralph?
I watched this year, yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm still in a football frame of mind, and so because I'm leading up to the Super Bowl, it's like a pregame warm-up thing for me.
Oh, so you prefer to let it go after
once
the Super Bowl.
Once Super Bowl's up, well, it's over.
It's the natural climax of the season. It doesn't make any sense to do an All-Star game afterwards.
Easy, sailor.
I'm just saying.
We're on in the morning, that's all I'm telling you. You with your natural climaxes.
Well, all I know is 1 week till pitchers and catchers report and baseball starts.
Oh, man.
It's the only thing I know.
It's that time of year.
Talk about baseball when they show up to unpack their duffel bags in their locker room. That's
some
not
of them.
Baseball.
Just
some of them.
I watched video over the weekend of the truck leaving Seattle to head towards spring training. That had the Mariners gear on it. That's how excited I am.
So that they can be eliminated from the playoffs by game two?
Before the rest of the players show up for spring training?
Time for the first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new week on the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's Ralph.
It was a busy weekend. A lot of people watching the Super Bowl. So box office results were not perhaps as strong as they could have been, but The Roommate did pretty well for itself, and its first weekend made $15.6 million. That was good enough to make it number one. Then,
Kevin, you see that?
I didn't. I only had time for one movie, and I went to The Mechanic, because I hadn't seen that, so.
Ah, The Mechanic.
But I want to see it, The Roommate.
Hey, let me, while we're talking movies and Kevin,
what?
Let me say that I was... not bullied, but I was massaged into letting my wife choose a movie Friday night for date night this weekend.
That happens.
And she wanted to see the freaking No Strings Attached with Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman.
Oh,
so
right.
I relented because I said, well, Kevin said it's pretty good, so I'm going to go. If I have to go to a romantic comedy, if I have to go to a chick flick, then this is probably the safest one to go. Okay, honey, yeah, you can pick. We'll go to that one. It sucked ass.
Kind of liked it.
The script was horrendous.
Well, you're bad.
And the oh, sweet Jesus.
Haven't you and I always liked different kinds of movies?
Yes.
Well, then why would you take my word on anything?
Because even you usually, when it comes to these chick flicks, say, oh, no, that's not for me. No,
right.
That wasn't good.
But
this one was pretty good. I think it was good.
It's Natalie Portman.
Oh, boy.
At least you had her to look at.
God damn.
In Kevin's defense, was it Natalie Portman?
It was.
Natalie Portman was in the film,
and Mila
yes.
Kunis?
No, that's the Black Swan.
That's the Black Swan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. No Strings Attached, yeah.
Yeah, No Strings Attached is what we're talking about.
Right.
Ashton Kutcher,
not too bad.
A film in which no one in the film does anything that any human being has ever done in real life. It might as well just say this is a science fiction movie. This takes place on another planet. Oh, sweet Jesus.
So it wasn't bad. Is what you're saying.
Oh, my wife turned to me in the middle of the film and said, I'm sorry. But the good news is I get like 8 films now.
All right.
I get like 8 picks because I can say, oh, you remember what happened last time you picked a movie? And she'll go, yeah, and she'll kick dirt. And
I remember.
Get to take her to something. Get to see Captain America throwing his shield around or something. How great did that trailer
look?
Oh,
that looked good, by the way. That looked really good.
It looks awesome.
He comes out of the thing all swole. He goes in and nerd comes out swole.
I thought of Mike because I saw that. He's all skinny, scrawny guy, and he goes into the box and comes out all swole. I said, oh, Mike wishes he had that machine right now.
I was most excited by Super 8. That was the trailer that I was geeked for. The J.J. Abrams, Steven Spielberg.
Yeah. Haven't we seen that movie already 100 times?
Probably, and isn't it still 5 years away?
No, I think it's this summer, I think.
This summer, I think, yeah. But Sanctum 3D was number 2 at the box office this weekend, $9.2 million. No Strings Attached. Speaking of that gem, that cinematic piece of art that Kevin said, oh, it's pretty good.
It isn't too bad.
It is bad.
No, not really.
It's bad. Oh, at least Kevin Kline plays like a 60-year-old actor who loved Little Wayne, has to go to the hospital because he overdosed on the purple drank. F you. F
right,
you.
That does sound funny.
All right. It isn't. Trust me. King's Speech was 4th. Green Hornet was 5th. The Right, The Mechanic, True Grit, The Dilemma, and Black Swan rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, apparently Alice Eve, Diane Kruger, and Rosamund Pike...
Wow!
Have all auditioned for the female lead in the upcoming Superman movie, but it turns out it's been confirmed that role won't be Lois Lane for any of those women.
No.
Apparently they're bringing back Ursa. Remember in Superman 2 when all the Kryptonian villains bust out of the Phantom Zone and attack Earth?
No.
Yeah.
With Christopher Reeve, and he's got Zod and the big guy and the female chick who also is superpowered?
No.
They're bringing her back. And so one of those young ladies perhaps will play that role. In the
she
film.
Has superpowers?
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, Natalie Portman and Rachel McAdams in talk to possibly play
that's what I'm talking
Lois
about.
Lane. I think either of those girls would be really good for that role. So.
We've had an embarrassment of riches with Natalie Portman movies, by the way. She's been in a movie for like the last 3 weeks in a row.
She has one a week now. That's her new schedule. She's trying to cram them in before she gets all pregnant and busy and can't do anything.
Yeah.
She's in the new Thor movie. She plays the female lead in that. Fans of 24 will be happy to hear that Kiefer Sutherland wants to make a movie based on the hit show. In fact, recently said it's already in production, and everybody went, what? What did he say? That's not the case. But it turns out they have a director, at least, Ron Howard.
Wow.
Is interested in directing 24, the feature film. And apparently
that's what he's doing.
They had lunch together to talk about the possibility of bringing the popular series to the big screen. And looked like it could happen. So that would be good news. Ron Howard. Hey, look, it wouldn't be the dilemma, Ron. But I think you could probably come up with something pretty good. More movies in the works that are long awaited by fans. Arrested Development fans. Looks like we're finally going to get a payoff for that much-talked-about, long-awaited movie that's in the works. Creator Mitch Hurwitz has said he has written the film and hopes to get it produced and released within the year. That TV series was canceled back in 2006. Can you believe it's been that long since we haven't had any Arrested Development?
No, I can't.
So let's hope they
get
on that soon. Shia LaBeouf had a little run-in with the police last Saturday morning. He was briefly handcuffed. And then released after a bar fight. He was with about 15 friends at a bar called Mad Bull's Tavern when someone taunted Shia and then sucker punched him, apparently.
Nice.
Ashley Simpson, oddly enough, was also on the scene, but wasn't involved in the fight. That's too bad. If you had a choice between punching Shia LaBeouf or Ashley Simpson, that's a no-brainer right there, right? The fight might have ended right there, except for a couple members of the LAPD were passing by, saw the crowd, and put Shia and the other dude in handcuffs. But they decided not to press charges. The cops took the cuffs off and released them. Cops say it was basically a case of just boys being boys. And, yeah, if I had thrown a punch at a bar, it would be a case of convict being a convict in a holding cell someplace.
But it would have been the right decision.
Shia would have been let go. And Lindsay Lohan, speaking of convicts, she could face today the charge of felony grand larceny after she allegedly walked away with a $2,500 one-of-a-kind necklace from a jewelry store in Venice, California. Things don't look good for Lilo. There is footage of her trying on the necklace and walking out with it without paying for it.
They have a security cam showing the whole
thing?
They
have that.
Oh,
there is that.
And then there are photos of Lindsay walking around wearing the necklace in the subsequent week.
Could have been photoshopped. You don't know.
No. Now, she is saying, in her defense, the jewelry was on loan. That the people at the jewelry store wanted her to have it, to borrow it, to wear it around.
Which does happen a lot, but not necessarily.
Well, usually
in this
they tell you, we would like you to, you know,
they bring this
we'd
back.
Like to loan this to you. Feel free to take it. The jewelry store is saying that's not the case.
They never said that.
No. The necklace was returned, by the way, by a friend of Lindsay's after it was announced that the police were investigating her for theft.
Oh.
So it does seem like perhaps she realized it wasn't on loan. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens today. It doesn't really matter so much. Well, it matters, of course, but what happens with this case. But people are specifically looking at what would happen to her ongoing DUI case because she is still on probation for that offense. So this could affect that to her detriment and perhaps send her back into prison and or rehab.
Didn't we hear that she was sobbing while in prison? I can't imagine she wants to go back there.
I can't imagine she does either. As CBS has announced today, they've picked up a new sitcom starring Rob Schneider.
All right.
I'd rather be Lindsay Lohan right now. The premise is Rob's a guy who marries into a tight-knit Mexican-American family. Oh, I bet you he is a fish out of water with that family because he'll be all white and they'll be all Mexican and he won't know, what is this food you're eating? Oh, I'm laughing already, CBS. Well done. Well done, CBS. Rob Schneider. And if you liked NBC's drama series Chase, you may be sad today. Anyone? Chase? Anyone?
No.
Nope.
Chase?
Anyone? I watched it. I watched it a couple.
You did?
Like two episodes.
You're the only person I know.
It was just okay.
But they chase people.
They do chase people. Yeah.
It has been
just okay.
Canceled. Well, it's being put on indefinite hiatus, which is the politically correct term for cancel. And they're going to replace it with another hour of Minute to Win It.
Which I love.
I do love that show.
What
it's is ridiculous.
Wrong with
Have you?
Have you
watched it?
Yes.
Oh.
As much as I could. And then I said, wait a minute. I realized people are trying to hang candy canes on a piece of fishing line. And I have legs. But and I walked out of the room.
But it's the extreme pressure of winning $1 million that makes it interesting.
I understand that, but they do the dumbest things.
Well, I don't watch it a lot, but I do. I watch it occasionally.
At least it's hosted by a cook. So it's got that going for it.
Yeah.
Guy Fieri. Guy Fieri.
That's right, because he's a rock star of a cook.
I don't know who that is.
He's a rock star chef, man.
He has flames on his shirt.
Yeah.
They spent an hour in the Super Bowl pregame show watching him cook yesterday, too. That was part
of
the
I remember he
build
was
up
cooking
to the
in
game.
The parking lot. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that was good programming.
It sure was.
Could Fox publicize their films and TV shows any more than they did on that red carpet,
nope.
by the way?
You know,
everybody who came down the red carpet had a FX show, a Fox show, or had a movie coming out from 20th Century Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a little transparent. Yeah. But look, who can blame them? They don't have the Super Bowl in 2014 again, so I guess they had to make hay while the sun shines. See that funny bit where Tom Arnold is shoveling out the Jet Stadium? Oh, that was funny.
I didn't see the pregame show.
This was postgame.
Oh, postgame.
They said, you know, we'll be back in 2014 with the Super Bowl. It'll be at Giant Stadium, you know, in Rutherford, New Jersey. Let's cut there now. And Tom Arnold was there, and he had a snow shovel. And he said, I'm getting it ready, guys. See?
But he has to why Tom Arnold?
Because he's funny.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Miguel Ferrer was 56 years old today. Comedian Robert Smigel. You know him as Triumph, the insult comic dog. Oh, is he funny. 51. James Spader, also 51 today. Eddie Izzard, one of my favorite comedians, is 49. Comedian Chris Rock turns 46. Wes Borland of Limp Bizkit is 36. Hey, speaking of no strings attached, Ashton Kutcher is 33 years old today. Boy, is he bad in that movie. And
that was pretty good.
It's Phoenix Suns point guard Steve Nash celebrates his 37th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The final snap of Super Bowl 45. The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
So the non-rapey quarterback won yesterday. Very exciting game. A lot of times Super Bowl isn't, but it sure was. And I had not, I'd seen a couple of Cowboys games throughout the season, but yesterday was the most I saw of that new stadium.
Yeah.
It looks like it's from the future, or it looks like it's from a science fiction movie. That's insane. You see why, how they spent $1.5 billion on that Cowboys stadium.
It is impressive.
It's crazy. Yeah.
And that giant TV screen was amazing, and then then all the people outside, that was ridiculous. $200 a piece for the tickets.
Oh, yeah.
And they sold thousands and thousands of those. And the box that Jerry Jones was sitting in was an unbelievable assortment of, in fact, I think we've got the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. I think we got Jerry Jones on the phone. I wanted to talk about it. Hey, Mr. Jones, how are you, sir?
How you doing, fellas?
Very good, thank you.
Great, glad to hear it.
Congratulations.
Woo! Cowboys! How about them Cowboys?
They haven't played in about 6 weeks.
Get out, little
okay, they didn't play yesterday. You know it was the Steelers and the Packers, right?
We're still Cowboys Stadium.
Yes. Well, it was.
We couldn't have been more proud.
Where are you shooting off that weapon?
Right in center, right in the 50-yard line,
okay.
Right here.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Oh, you're still at the stadium.
I live here.
I realize that.
This is the greatest building in the world.
Woo! So in the all right, that's fine, Jerry. In the owner's box, it's you, former President Bush, and his wife Laura.
Yeah.
John Madden.
Yes.
Condoleezza Rice.
Uh-huh.
Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah. The Kutch was there.
Demi Moore. I mean, just a bizarre assortment of people.
Yeah. A lot of people wanted to see the game, so I said, "Come on in.
Yeah.
Come on in to the owner's box." Because we can seat 491 people in the owner's box.
It did seem pretty jammed.
It's
pretty
a massive. Big box.
It's a big box.
This is not a small box.
That's what she said.
This is a large stadium. Biggest stadium in the world.
Right.
Now, how
come stars like Ron Howard and Harrison Ford didn't get to sit in the box? How come they had regular seats?
Well, Ron Harrison made, what's his name? Ron Howard?
Ron Howard, right.
Ron Howard made the dilemma.
Right.
Yeah, have you seen it?
Also, that's why you didn't allow him to sit in the box.
I see.
Okay. I got you.
And Harrison Ford, I just can't stand a goddamn thing he's saying.
Okay.
So I figured I didn't want to burden everyone going, what? What are you? Speak up. So we put him in another room.
All right.
He was fine.
Right,
he fell asleep.
Let's talk about some of the controversies that were non-football related.
Cowboy controversy.
Here's a short clip of the national anthem, which was hugely flubbed by Christina Aguilera as she forgot some words, changed other words, and repeated words from earlier in the song. Here's a little bit of that.
Through the perilous fight, what so proudly we watched, at the twilight's last gleaming.
Last what? Huh?
Reaming.
What's
going on there? Reaming.
Was it reaming?
Yep. I knew we were in trouble when I heard Christina ask President Bush what the lyrics were to this national anthem.
He
jotted them down for her on a cocktail napkin, and I realized at that point maybe we should have gone to another source.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah. Now, what's the policy there at Cowboys?
Okay, you just what's keep the... talking over me. I'll be good.
A lot of shooting. I had heard that, actually. What's the policy if somebody screws up the anthem at Cowboys Stadium? Do you deal with it?
Murder.
That's what I was afraid of.
I lost money on it because it was the under-over 150, and she went like 152. But if she says the wrong words, it should be null and void, right?
Yeah. Had she included all the words to the song, it probably would have... would have been the right bet for you to go, So, sadly, that's the way it rolls.
And then, unfortunately, the Black Eyed Peas were chosen as the...
Peas! Peas a mess!
Listen to how they sounded in their first song, singing at Super Bowl halftime show yesterday.
Tonight's the night! Hey, let's live it up! Yo, I got my money! Hey, let's spin it up! Go out and smash! Like, oh my God.
I mean, seriously, if this was some kid on a YouTube video, you would hit next. You would not listen to a guy who performs that sounds that bad, right?
How dare you, sir? I was so pleased with that halftime show.
Really?
I think it's the world really enjoyed seeing Tron the Musical.
There was a little bit of that. And they tried to mix it up by bringing out other stars. They had Usher came down and he sang a little bit of his
Usher
OMG
came
song.
From space.
He did come
out
of space.
It is lower down. And then they had Slash, poor Slash, by the way, who shows up and he comes up out of the ground and he's playing a little bit his. And then Fergie comes and sings an old Guns N' Roses song. And tell me if it's just me. Do I just hate the Black Eyed Peas so much that I can't be objective? Or is this horrible? What's the deal? What's the verdict from you guys?
You're a difficult person, sir. May I say that first? I think it's I think you're awfully harsh. Speaking for the fact that the Black Eyed Peas, the lead African American gentleman, he's got a steel plate in his head, and then you go and make fun of him just because he is not all there.
No, he was just wearing a dumb hat, Jerry. It wasn't a steel. Yeah, it was just a costume.
What?
Yeah, he doesn't have a steel plate in his head.
He's got a big steel plate in his head.
No, it's just
with lights in it. I thought he was a robot.
It's just a funny hat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Then they were bad.
They were terrible.
It sounded like it maybe was something out of their control. Is the sound in your stadium bad?
Well, we are not an intimate venue for music.
Right, but that was especially bad. Was that the Black Eyed Peas or was it your place?
I think, given those two choices, I'd have to say Black Eyed Peas.
All right.
Because this is the greatest place in the world. Cowboys!
So you live there, so you just stay in that stadium all summer long?
Yeah, I just sleep right here on the AstroTurf, and then I have breakfast brought down from the concession stands. They usually bring me a corn dog some popcorn for breakfast.
Wow!
And speaking of popcorn, did you see Alex Rodriguez being fed popcorn by Cameron Diaz?
Yeah,
yes,
didn't see that.
Yeah.
What a homo! Seriously.
Well, at least we could all agree on that.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. I'm going to be honest when I tell you that we all have a little bit of a crush on our guest that's coming up in about 50 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The beautiful Florence Welch is going to be joining us from Florence and the Machine. She's nominated for a Grammy. She's performing on the Oscars, and she's on tonight's Gossip Girl. So she's got a lot to talk to us about.
Wow.
That's coming up on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, a little feature we like to call Would you like to take that back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you would you, could you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you would you, could you take that back?
The only problem with "Would you like to take that back?" and this is the feature where we give all of us the opportunity to retract something that we've said on the air that we wish we hadn't, is that it doesn't take it out of the minds of the people who had to hear it. Even though you can say I take it back and absolve myself from all responsibility, people still heard it and people still judge you. There's nothing we can do about that.
Yeah, but you could try not to be bad.
At least you can apologize for something that you said that you shouldn't have. At least it does give you that opportunity.
So basically what we do is we have a file, and every time somebody tries to be funny and it falls flat, we put it in the file and we give them a chance to take it back. The first one is Ralph Garman.
Yes.
He's doing the Showbiz Beat, and he was talking about having who his favorite Spice Girl is.
So you have to have a favorite
Spice
Girl.
You have to have a favorite Spice Girl. You do.
Just tell me what you want, Kevin, what you really, really want.
Woo! See, because
sweet!
That's one of their songs.
Would you like to take that back?
Said it. I meant it. I'm here to represent it.
So oh, he's sticking with it.
You're good with it. You'd do it again if you had the chance?
Spice Girls, tell me what you want. Can't possibly see the comic connection there. What was I thinking?
Oh, there's a connection there. It just
and it's a sweet connection.
Okay. What about this one? When you're talking about Bret Michaels and his health problems.
All right. Bret Michaels has more health issues. Surprise, surprise. He's got a hole in his heart.
He's had a lot of trouble in the last few years.
Not out of the woods yet.
You think there's too much poison in his life?
Wow.
Hello. File, file. We heard it. We heard it.
He's in a band called Poison.
Like we didn't understand.
Think there's too much poison in his life? Did he accidentally ingest some poison, or did he, you know, was he poisoned or anything? Does he have too much poison in his life?
It was a bad joke told poorly.
Yes!
Yeah.
Hang on.
Would you like to take that back?
I think...
Don't even pause.
I'm sticking with the concept of the joke. I think there was a finely crafted joke.
There.
No, hold on. I think with reservations. This is like a guilty, Your Honor, but with an explanation. That's what this is. I'm going to take it back.
All right.
I think the principle was sound, but I do think I agree with Ralph that it was delivered poorly.
All right. This is a joke that Ralph cannot keep himself from making. You know how there are times
it's too good.
You know how there are times like whatever topic comes up and you know he's going to go there and he can't help himself.
Shakira celebrates her 34th birthday. I would never joke about her hips because they're always honest. That's what I like about her hips. Her hips don't lie.
Wow.
See, you cut something out there because I think someone said don't talk about her hips.
I don't know.
That clip has been edited, I think.
Mike laid it down.
Because someone said...
The clip was edited.
It was, because someone said, look, whatever you do, just don't... Because someone asked me not to make the joke. They said, don't talk about her hips. And I said, I would never talk about her hips, and that's when I went into the joke. Yeah.
So you're saying...
Would you like to take that back?
I'm saying I was provoked. I was provoked into making that joke.
Would you like to take that back?
It was self-defense. It was humor and self-defense.
Would you like to take that back?
No!
All right.
Especially when you've altered the evidence, when the evidence has been tampered with.
Well, Psycho Mike put all these on tape, and we had to go back and clean them up some because there was rewinding and all kinds of stuff on there. So. I can't guarantee that something didn't get cut out. This one is, I believe, Bean. Ralph is talking about the Kendra
Wilkinson
sex tape.
Yes.
Yes.
This one, however, is predominantly girl-girl action.
Okay.
With her good friend, Taryn Ryan.
All right.
So it's the Kendra and the Taryn? The Kendra and the Taryn?
That's right.
The
Kendra
file.
And the Taryn.
Come on. How could I not? Somebody had to.
No.
Everyone was taking it.
Right, but everybody else chose wisely.
There's no way I'm taking that back.
Would you like to take that back?
The Kendra and the Taryn.
That doesn't even make sense.
It's not Rippa and Tara. It's not...
Nope. They live next door to the Rippin' and the Taryn, but I'm proud of that one. I'm sticking with that one.
You're not proud of that one.
What does it mean?
What does
that
door?
Don't.
I'm sticking with that one. I
really?
Love it.
You're
I love
horrible.
It.
The Kendra and the Taryn. That's what
yes,
you're going
I am.
With.
The Kendra doesn't even sound like another verb. It's like no one Kendras anybody. It doesn't make any sense.
Come on. It's a reference to something funny, but it was, again, poorly done.
I like it.
Would you like to take that back?
Nope.
Wow. Some bad decisions being made here today. Psycho Mike was on the Regis show, and we pulled a clip from that. We want to ask him if he wants to take it back.
We're going outside the realm of the radio show.
I didn't know that this game was played like outside of these studios.
I want to check my house for bugs to make sure you're not also it's punishing me at home.
Not private life. He was on TV. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
So, he made this joke, and I'm sure he wishes that he could take it back.
I couldn't believe it. It was an hour of Ronnie crying. Ronnie, please.
And Pat Benatar told me love is a battlefield. That's the way it goes.
Very funny.
All right.
Oh, what a sympathy vote you got from Kelly Ripa.
Oh, remember how much Kelly loved him, though. Everything he said or did, she loved.
As much as she loved him, she still was forcing herself to support him on that joke.
Yeah, that was that you're a dumbass.
So funny.
That's what you do instead of laughing, is you say that's funny when it isn't.
I know.
She would have laughed if it was funny.
And I have the same argument as Mr. Garman, that the evidence was tampered with, but at the same time, I definitely will take that back.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to just claim all mine are tampered with then, too. I see how this works.
Now that I listen back to it, you give it a second, and I step outside the box and can analyze that one, I'll take it back.
Excellent. All right. And finally, Ralph in the Showbiz Beat is talking about celebrity pilots. Celebrities who are pilots.
Yeah, he's out there. He's out there doing search and rescue, remember?
Still? Patrick Swayze, before his death, he was a huge pilot. I knew that, right?
He's like the wind.
F-I-L-E.
He would fly through the sky.
I-A-G-R-E.
Just like the wind. I'm saying he was like the wind.
Put it in the file.
Would you like to take that back?
I have never made a joke that pertains more to the subject matter than that one. I absolutely will not take that back.
Okay, but Patrick Swayze, now dead, had a hit song 25 years ago called She's Like the Wind?
Yes.
That was the joke, and you think everybody got that?
I had no idea what he was talking about.
Now I'm definitely not taking it back.
My perplexed Lisa, it works on two levels for me.
How are we going to do this feature in the future if no one takes anything back, for
God's
sakes?
Well, the bit's not called Take It Back. It's just called Would You Like to Take It Back? So you do have options.
We need to add an overrule function where if everybody agrees that you should take it back, then you should be forced to take it back. Because sometimes your judgment is poor.
Because then the game isn't would you. You're not asking someone then. You're
asking.
It
becomes take back court.
All right, let's call it that. Take back court. You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:38.
We'll be talking more about the Super Bowl with our friend Petrith Papadigas coming up in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That is Florence and the Machine. We could not be more excited to welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show Florence, who joins us on the phone right now without the machine. Hey, Florence, welcome. How are you, my dear?
Hey, I'm good. Oh, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you.
We couldn't be more excited, and I can't even get my head around the next 2 weeks for you, because you're on primetime television on three different networks in the next 2 weeks, including the CW Gossip Girl tonight. Then you're going to be at the Grammys. Then you're going to be at the Oscars. What the heck's going on with you?
Yeah, right now I'm in a supermarket in South London, so it's all going to seem to change over the next couple of weeks. Right now I'm in a baked goods aisle.
The baked goods aisle. What are you buying there? What are you getting? A pie? What are you getting?
No, well, I've just come in to pick up some bits, maybe get some crumpets.
Some bits?
You have them over in America.
Crumpets? Sure. Sure,
certainly.
A friend of mine actually came to London specifically to pick up crumpets.
Wow, they must be good.
Yeah, I know, but I'm really, really excited. Is the Gossip Girl on tonight?
It is on tonight.
Wow. Yeah, yes, it is on tonight. United States time. It's on 9 o'clock on the CW network. Now, what's the connection that you have with the Gossip Girl? Are you are you friends with somebody over there, or how did this come about?
Well, what was really nice actually is that Blake Lively's actually been coming. She came to my very first show in New York, and she's just been a really big support and kind of. I got to know her through her coming to the shows, and she's really, really lovely. And she actually came to my show in Las Vegas in New Year, and she's a really wonderful girl. And it's just really nice to have got to know her. And so, you know, when they asked me if I wanted to come on a show, I said, of course. And, you know, she wasn't even filming, but came in and, like, watched it get filmed.
Well, that's cool.
It's really nice.
What part do you play? What do you do?
Pardon?
What do you do on the show tonight?
Oh, I perform in a party scene.
Ah.
So I'm actually singing a song in a party that's happening during the show.
All right.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But apparently it's quite a dramatic scene, so it cuts between me singing and then drama unfolding. It sounds very exciting.
Now, is Gossip Girl on in the United Kingdom? Is that a show that you have been able to watch as well?
Yeah, I've watched quite a few episodes of Gossip Girl. Actually, it's but I've bought the box set, so I get to watch them all in a row.
That's the best way to watch any show, I think, because you don't
absolutely
you don't have to wait.
Hey, Florence, I have to ask, did you have any friends that watched the Super Bowl in London yesterday or today, depending on the time difference?
Do you know what? I actually saw a snippet of it on the telly. I think I saw it on the news. Uh-huh. I didn't see the whole thing, but yeah, I saw a bit of it, yeah.
Because I understand that football is getting a little bit more popular in Europe and that there are actually people who get together and watch the games live, even though they're on at bizarre times, sometimes in the middle of the night, your time. Sometimes people will get up and watch it just because they want to see the Super Bowl.
Well, that sounds like quite a fun activity, actually. Midnight Super Bowl.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure I would start watching a football game at midnight, but...
This is the voice of our friend Florence Welch on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about Gossip Girl tonight on the CW. And then this Sunday, I guess you're going to be in Los Angeles because you're going to be in the audience for the Grammys. You are up for Best New Artist. How are you feeling about your chances of winning that, Florence?
Do you know what? I think just to be a Grammy nominee is unbelievable. And I'm just really excited for the show and... You know, I'm really, really looking forward to it. And whatever happens, you know, I'm just going to be glad to have been there, I think, on the night.
Unless Justin Bieber wins, and then you should get up and storm out. That never happens, by the way. They always show the other people in the category after they flash to the winner. And you should just curse and storm out, I think. That would be great.
No way.
I
wouldn't want to miss a thing of that show.
Florence.
But you have to admit, though, if Justin Bieber wins, then the system is rigged, right? Listen to you and listen to him. Come on.
No, he has so many fans.
Yes.
So, huge support. So whatever happens, you know, happens. I'm just going to be glad to have been there. You know, on the
whatever night. Happens, except for Justin Bieber winning Best New Artist.
She's too nice. She's being too nice. By the way, are you checking out yet, or are you still in the baked goods aisle?
I'm wandering around, actually. I'm going past the... You caught me at a moment. I popped out and buy some milk. And now I'm going past the Scrumpy Jack aisle. A lot of cider here, some beer.
Now
anything you guys want? Can I pick you anything up?
Yeah, pick us up some beer if you would.
That'd be tough to get on the plane, but can you get me some Smarties? I love those Smarties. Can you pick some of those up for me?
Smarties?
Yes.
Wow, you like Smarties. Okay, yeah, I'll get you some Smarties.
Very nice. Now we're talking. All right, one more thing.
I'm right here.
Grab some Smarties. I love those so much.
I've got them for you.
Thank you. Let's fast forward one more time, Florence, to the end of the month. You're going to be not only at the Oscars, but performing on stage. And I don't fully understand what it is you're doing, but it involves the movie 127 Hours. What's going on?
Yeah, well, it's a huge honor, actually. I've been asked by A.R. Rahman, who is an incredible, you know, he writes incredible music, and he's done, you know, he did a song for, you know, the soundtrack of 127 Hours, and he actually saw me perform, I think, at the Nobel Peace Prize, and from that had asked me to come and sing the song that he'd written for,
wow,
for this movie with him, which is, a huge honor, and I can't believe I'm performing at the Oscars. I honestly cannot believe it.
I have a hard time digesting the words, he saw me at the Nobel Peace Prize.
That seems odd as well. Yeah, that was another, extremely exciting event to perform at, so...
Well, you are going to have so many memories for the rest of your life of all the wonderful things that have happened to you because of your band and your music. I hope you're taking lots of pictures and keeping a scrapbook because you don't want to forget a thing with what's going on in your life right now.
I've got like a tiny little Polaroid camera, actually, so I've got lots and lots of small pictures of like all my travels.
You can bring Smarties to Bean and he'll help you scrapbook.
Okay, we'll make a scrapbook and have Smarties together.
There we go. That sounds like an outstanding plan. Well, you are so adorable, and we love you so much, and it's always great when we have the opportunity to catch up with you on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll look for you tonight on the Gossip Girl CW, 9 o'clock tonight, then at the Grammys, then at the Oscars. Florence, thank you so much for spending the time with us at the supermarket.
Thanks so very much.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Not only our friend The P joining us after the top of the hour to talk all things sports, but today we are unveiling details on and giving you tickets to join us for the next Kevin and Bean singles party, which is coming up this Saturday night. You know, it's Valentine's Day weekend this weekend, you guys.
Yes, we do know that.
Yes,
and we are so, prepared because Lisa's been telling us to be prepared.
Yeah, yes. If anyone knows it, I know it.
Yes, right. I'm going to buy my wife a phone.
Yep, that'd be very romantic.
100 blooms of love.
That's right.
And
anyway, this
the lavender bath kit. I'm getting that thrown in.
That's the most important part
for all the low price of $19.95.
This is Saturday night, a new Kevin and Bean singles party. So we'll give you tickets later on today's show. Right now, Ralph is here with the show. Biz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Christina Aguilera having a rough morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. She messed up the words of the national anthem. I don't know if you're watching the Super Bowl yesterday or not.
I've got a clip if you want to hear it.
Sure.
Sure.
Through the perilous pipe.
What? Perilous pipe?
What so proudly we once what? Had the twilight's last dreaming.
Class reaming.
What is she
making
saying?
It up as she goes along.
Terrible.
You don't learn the words to that before you sing it on the Super Bowl?
Here's the thing. She's sung it before. She's sung it at the NBA All-Star Game. She has sung it on several occasions. Never had a problem with
it. So funny.
This time out of the gate, she was all hopped up on goofballs and came out and really jacked it up.
But I bet the under over on the national anthem, and I bet under. Now, should that be make it null and void? Because I lost that bet. Oh, but she changes the words now. I was counting on the words.
You'll have to ask the commissioner. You have to ask the commissioner on that one. I'm
throw
not
my
sure
loss
how,
out.
That, how that rolls. But right. Yeah, by the way, has she looked worse?
No.
She looked like an albino Snooki.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
She looked, like the vanilla Snooki to me as I was watching the game. I was like, whoa!
You do not want to be the vanilla
Snooki. You do not want to be vanilla Snooki. She was rough.
Yeah.
And here's the funny thing. Most of us, if we had to sing the national anthem, if you had to say, what are the words of the national anthem, it would be hard for you just to come up with them.
Of course.
But when you listen to it, you know when it's wrong.
Yeah.
Because I was there with my folks were in town, and I was watching with the wife, and we were all busy, you know, pre-kickoff, you know, getting food and stuff. But everyone went, burr? It was like, heard a dog whistle when she hit that line. We were like, I know, I'm not sure what it is, but I know it's not that. And so we knew that she was in big, big trouble. So she's getting a lot of heat today. And rightly so. She should be thrown out of the country, right?
Well, I don't know, thrown out
yes,
of the country.
Yes, thrown out of the country.
Just for being the vanilla Snooki?
Just for being the vanilla Snooki, absolutely. Black Eyed Peas, however, they made up for it.
Oh, my God.
That was some horrible, horrible sounding halftime music.
But I got to tell you, as bad as they were, I love me that damn song, Where is the Love?
That's so catchy.
That's one of their best songs. I agree with you on that.
So catchy. And I was like, oh, this is awful. Oh, I like this. Oh, this is awful. It's awful. It was like one of those moments.
I have a clip of that if you want to hear it.
Oh, that's okay.
Will I am. You can't even understand what he's saying anymore.
But we can retire that clip, though.
No,
right,
apparently we can't. Apparently we can't.
Not a chance.
Yeah. American Idol commercials were in force last night, as was the commercial for the return of Simon Cowell. I don't know if you saw that, but he's coming back for X Factor. And Simon says,
come on.
I'm just talking.
That wasn't
a
joke?
I'm just reporting.
That wasn't a joke?
No, Simon says that the X Factor will offer the largest grand prize in the history of television.
Okay.
The recording contract you get if you win X Factor is a $5 million deal.
What is it for American Idol?
$100,000 or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, they really get you on the cheap on American Idol. That's why I like 15-year-olds to try out.
Wow.
No. I don't even know that I've ever heard a dollar value on the American Idol. I think it's just we sign you to this record contract that we own you for the rest of your life.
But they got to pay him something. You know.
Wow.
They're recording for him. But it isn't $5 million.
No.
He claims it will be the largest grand prize for any show ever on television.
And this show is the same as Idol, but
here's
what?
The premise. X Factor has no age limits.
No age limit, all right.
And you can be a singing group as well as a solo artist.
Okay.
So it really opens up the parameters in terms of who can enter the contest. They're looking for a superstar act versus just a superstar singer one-off.
Which is, I mean, America's Got Talent. You could go on with your band and perform too, right? Or no?
Yeah, but they also have variety acts and jugglers and magicians. Right. And stuff. This is just music.
So it's sort of a hybrid between those two shows. But $5 million.
Wow. Look, I, on the surface of it, have no interest in another singing competition. But I do have a lot of respect for Simon Cowell. Believe he knows how entertainment works, and it's probably going to be a pretty good show.
And you know, if you win one of those shows, you will become a superstar.
Yeah.
Just ask Clay Aiken, who last week was dropped by his record label.
Oh, no.
By the way, if you're keeping track, this means Clay and the guy who beat him, Ruben Studdard, are both currently without recording contracts. No one will release their records.
That is weird.
So winning a TV show doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a successful musical artist.
Did he put out bad songs? Or
Clay Aiken?
Yes.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yes, he did.
Horrible.
And you know me, I'm a Claymate, but I mean, his last couple of records have just been unlistenable.
Here's a
just
clip.
Boring.
It's Monday.
Actually, I do have a clip from the last Clay Aiken album, if you'd like to hear it. It's not a joke.
All right.
Penis. I don't know why a song like that from Clay wouldn't be popular.
So that was not the joke?
Not the joke clip.
No, okay.
I have a clip, and this is not a joke.
How great is male ass?
Lisa, do you have a clip?
No
clip over there?
No clip.
Okay, no clip over here either. We're good. It's Monday. It means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Roommate was number one with $15.6 million. A lot of people wanted to see Minka Kelly and the other broad.
Leighton Meester.
Roll around again.
Yeah.
Sanctum 3D came in at number two with $9.2 million. That has to be a desperate disappointment.
Yeah, I would think so.
From the mind of James Cameron and 3D and big blockbuster adventure film only pulls in less than $10 million.
Especially after what Kevin Smith told us about the advertising budgets on those movies.
No Strings Attached was third. No Strings Attached.
It's good. Oh, you'll like it. It's not as bad as other ones,
Kevin said.
It wasn't too bad.
So I was forced to go on Friday. Oh, see, Ashton Kutcher is so charming that when Natalie Portman is menstruating, he makes her a period.
Yeah, that happened.
Mix. He makes her a
music mix.
A music mix for her to have her period by.
That happened.
F you, Kevin.
That was
F you.
Oh, listen, that's not the point I would hold up to say that it's okay. It had some weak spots.
The King's Speech was fourth. Green Hornet was fifth. The Right, The Mechanic, True Grit, The Dilemma, and Black Swan rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Miguel Ferrer is 56. Robert Smigel, very talented and funny comedian who is best known probably as Triumph the Insult comic dog. He's 51, as is James Spader. Garth Brooks, country singer, legend, takes, has a birthday today, 49 years old today. Eddie Izzard is also 49. Chris Rock is 46. Limp Bizkit, guitarist Wes Borland, is 36 years old. Ashton Kutcher, speaking of No Strings Attached, is 33. I'm Ruff Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
All right. It's about to get sexy up in here, ladies and gentlemen. Petros Papadakis joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show the day after Super Bowl 45. How are you, P?
I'm okay. I'm doing well.
Does P bring the sexy? I wasn't aware of that.
Of course he does.
Oh, come on. I'm a good-looking man.
I'm not saying you're not. I just didn't know.
You don't know that... I can sexually express myself better than most sportscasters around town.
I was listening to
a thrust that is beyond.
I bet.
Beyond I was that listening of your to normal football analyst.
A little bit of the P at the end of last week. He was broadcasting his half of the PMS, nationally syndicated radio show from Portland. Man, are you loud, and man, do you talk a lot, Petros. That's what I learned about you.
Wait a minute. You didn't know that before?
Of course
that's
I knew
our
that.
Man, Petros.
But it's really driven home when you spend a considerable amount of, I don't know, I can listen to about an hour of P show, and then I get a headache.
You need to work out. You got to work
out. Is
that
what it is?
Yeah.
That helps.
So I'm loud and I talk too much. Thanks a lot, Bean. I'm glad I got up.
Hey, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, wonderful. Fight on, everybody.
Now, P, everybody looks forward to the Super Bowl, but there's so much nonsense surrounding the Super Bowl that sometimes...
You mean like the red carpet with Michael Strahan and Maria Menounos?
Yes. What's that about?
Hey,
what's that about?
You know, Fox isn't going to have it till 2014. They had to get the most bang they could for their buck. And look, I didn't go this year to the Super Bowl, and Matt and I stayed home, and I think we're both pretty happy that we did, especially the way this year worked out. There was kind of a dark cloud over the whole thing this year, literally with all the weather and the ice and the fact that Dallas is so spread out and there's so many big-haired hookers and so many idiots. I mean, it's such a terrible place.
Wait, are you putting big-haired hookers in the bad category?
Yes!
Oh, all right.
Hey, everybody likes a hooker with bangs. I don't need this big old wacky Dallas.
Hookers need bangs. Let me make a note.
I got a scrunchie and big socks on and pro cans. That's not my type of hooker. Okay. The point is that everything's all spread out there. It was cold as hell. And then you have this whole collective bargaining agreement hanging over the heads of the entire league. These guys are all going to lose their insurance in March. There's going to be a lockout.
Okay, explain that to me as quickly as you can, because I don't know what they're fighting over. It's money always.
They're fighting over money.
Okay.
The owners want an 18-game season. They want a whole bunch more money. The players don't want to play two more games because they're not going to be paid what they should for those two extra games, because the risk of injury in the NFL is so high. NFL players don't have guaranteed contracts like Major League Baseball or NBA. So there's a lot of little stuff to work out between millionaires, those are the players, and the billionaires, those are the owners. And whenever you hear Roger Goodell speak, the commissioner of the NFL, he's speaking for the owners. So they're trying to work this thing out. There will be a draft. There will be pro days and all that stuff. And I know you like to watch it on the NFL Network. So all that stuff is going to happen, but it's still going to happen under the cloud of this collective bargaining thing. There will be no mini camps, there will be no OTAs, and there probably won't be camp, at least not like we're used to seeing it, because this thing is going to take a long time to work out. I think it's going to creep into mid-August, so we're not done talking about it, and it's going to be annoying, it's going to be horrible, and the Super Bowl was kind of played under that cloud, even though I liked the game and I enjoyed
it. It was a pretty good game for a Super Bowl, right?
Why don't you sell Dong a picture of that, Brett Favre? why don't you shove that in your Wranglers? Why don't you put that on your salt and peppered gray beard and shave it off, you bastard Brett Favre? Nobody in Green Bay ever is going to remember Brett Favre after he held that whole organization over a barrel for years and years, treating Aaron Rodgers like crap when he got drafted, not helping the guy acclimate to Green Bay. And here's Aaron Rodgers, who's won just as many Super Bowls in Green Bay as punk-ass Brett Favre.
And
he was the MVP of the Super Bowl, which Brett Favre never was at Green Bay. The one Super Bowl Brett Favre did win in Green Bay was the one with Desmond Howard, who was the MVP of the game. So congratulations to Chico, California's own Aaron Rodgers.
I didn't know this about Aaron Rodgers, but did you hear them give his brief background? Chico
and then junior college.
A 49ers fan his whole life.
Yeah.
Well, Joe Montana.
Yeah, so what, though?
Steve Young.
I could care less.
Right, but then it comes to getting drafted, and they go to the 49ers, and the 49ers go, no thanks.
It's the NFL, though. I mean, you have to get happy wherever you get drafted. And
sure.
He went to Green Bay, and he has to play behind Brett Favre, and Brett Favre was not inviting. He went through all this stuff. He's always going to be compared to this guy. But to be able to transcend that in the way that he did, incredibly accurate, great performance, great teammate. Aaron Rodgers is a class act. And I would like to see Brett Favre just go away forever. Just go to Hattiesburg and put on a helmet and coach with the high school team. Just go away. Just leave everybody alone.
Speaking of class acts, and this is the voice of our friend Petros Papadakis in the studio on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about Super Bowl 45 from yesterday. Great coaches. Great coaching last night from both sides. I love both of those guys so much, man. It was hard to root against either of those guys because they just seem like such nice guys who work so hard.
Do they really seem
so well.
Lovable to you, Bean?
They do. And I got to tell you this. Well, especially Omar Epps, because I love him on House anyway, and then to see him out there coaching for Pittsburgh.
I liked him as the second coming of Willie Mays Hayes in Major League 2.
But, I mean, what about, you talk about stories, you talk about Chico and Aaron Rodgers. What about Mike McCarthy, the coach for Green Bay, who grows up in Pittsburgh as a diehard Steelers fan and ends up going and beating them in the Super Bowl as an adult? That's crazy, right?
You see a lot of that in the world of football. And what I try to get people away from, like, Bean, you're talking about this guy growing up in Pittsburgh, McCarthy, and Kevin, you're talking about Aaron Rodgers growing up in San Francisco. Look, you play for the NFL, you play in the NFL.
Wherever
it doesn't matter who you play for, wherever they put you, whoever's paying you, that's where you are.
No, but it's a much sweeter story, if you can say, grew up, I guess, lifelong fan.
But they're all the same. I mean, the league is so homogenized that there's really no difference between Green Bay and Pittsburgh. Remember the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Sure.
Now, remember what Mike Damone said?
You have to narrow down.
Wherever you are, That's the place to be.
Oh, okay.
Isn't this great?
So as long as you're playing in the NFL.
As long as you're in the NFL and you're getting a check, that's the place to be.
All right.
I thought what he said is, who needs tickets for Cheap Trick? That's the scene that I was thinking of.
Yeah, hey, Earth, Wind, and Fire. I thought they just flew him in for games. Yeah.
So what went wrong for Pittsburgh besides, you know, running out of time to come back?
You know, I think that that's what it comes down to be honest with you guys. We always talk about it whenever I come in and talk about the NFL. The margin of victory in the NFL is just a pubic hair from victory or defeat. That's really what it is. Anybody's, okay. To be honest with you.
Because they're different.
Well, a lot of guys whack. But, I mean, that's all it takes, just a little bit. So you throw a pick six, like Roethlisberger did in the first quarter, you throw a pick six in the Super Bowl, that's going to be hard to overcome. Or you have a special teams mistake where you give up a return in the Super Bowl. That's going to be really difficult to overcome. But that being said, here you have Ben Roethlisberger, ball in his hand, plenty of time to drive down and win the football game. And that's probably how it should be. Here's a guy who's done it before. He's a hero. He's been that way. He knows how to elongate plays and elude rush and get the ball down the field and run the team in the two-minute drill, and it just didn't happen. So you have to give the credit to Green Bay, and Green Bay had a chance to really ice the game, and they weren't able to do it. So it was kind of, for as good of a game as it was kind of anticlimactic in the fourth quarter, but hey, he had the ball, and they couldn't do it. You have to give Green Bay the credit. They won it fair and square, and it was a great game to see Green Bay win, just so Brett Favre can sell Dong a photo of that to everybody and go away forever.
What are you saying about Brett Favre? I'm unclear.
I am tired of Brett Favre.
Okay.
So you like him and would like to hear more about him?
No. I'm over Brett Favre. Right. I'm over Brett Favre being a topic of every pro football season, and what he did to the people of Green Bay was a travesty, and now they're celebrating, and he can go straight to hell.
I'll bet you Aaron Rodgers is so happy to win the Super Bowl because he thinks now the Brett Favre question will be behind him.
It's over.
And it should be, right?
It's done.
Yeah. I mean he's got to be thrilled about that.
He's done with Brett Favre. Yeah. He's created his own legacy. And they were talking about it last night on the postgame show. Maybe a mini dynasty is going on right now with Green Bay, but you never really know. I mean, they'll have a good shot again next year. What happened with Aaron Rodgers yesterday is he solidified himself as one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. He's there with Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees. He's up there. Phillip Rivers is a guy in San Diego who's pretty close to being that type of guy. He was just so accurate, so impressive, and it was fun to see. It really was.
Weekdays on the Fox Sports Radio Network, Petros Papadakis.
Yeah, I talk too much and I'm too loud.
That's what he's known for. The P is here. We'll return more with our guests right after this on the Kevin DeBee.
Oh. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 7:26.
Well, I cannot believe I'm saying this, but it's raining in the OC.
I know, it's crazy. I got to tell you, the traffic is a nightmare. The 405 is jammed. The 5, the 710, they're all gridlocked.
Stay safe, stay dry, and let's all pray for sunshine.
Yeah, let's pray for sunshine, Kevin.
I totally watched that episode.
That was Kevin and Lisa May on the OC, ladies and gentlemen. How about that?
I love that show. I love that radio show. I know those people.
This the voice of Petros Papadakis at the Kevin DeBee Show. Hey, before we get back to you, P, we have to open up the phone lines right now at 1-800-520-1067. We told you that the next Kevin DeBee singles party is happening, and it is this Saturday night. It's Kevin DeBee's Love on the Rocks 2. It's our latest singles party. And what's the theme? What are we looking for folks who are picking up the phone and calling us to get in? You got to be 21 or over. Yeah. You got to be single and looking. What else?
Love on the Rocks.
Well, basically, the title is Love on the Rocks, so we're going to look for your stories.
Love on the Rocks.
Your significant other did you wrong.
Oh,
in a breakup,
okay.
They broke up with you in a weird way, or they sent a friend, or they changed their Facebook status. However they did you wrong, we'll take the calls at 1-800-520-1067. Guys and girls, you just have to be over 21.
And they did you wrong just in the way they broke up with you, or in the way they treated you, like they cheated on you or something like that?
I mean, we don't want calls of abuse. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's got to be able to laugh at it.
I tasted the back of my boyfriend's hand.
Oh.
You did?
Excuse me?
You know, like a backhand.
We're not looking for that. No, we don't want that at all.
My dad used to give me the backhand all the time. One time my dad gave me a backhand.
I thought you were telling an unrelated story.
No. I'm married. But one time my dad gave me a backhand so hard, and I was eating at the time, that he pushed the fork right through my cheek.
All right.
And I cried all the way to school.
All right.
He drove me to school. He said, "Get out of the car." And I was crying. I said, "No, I don't want to go to school. There's a fork in it." He just kick my ass right out of
the
his Suburban.
The fork was still in it?
Well, no. Okay. That was, you know, four little prong marks in my cheek. It was a horrible day at Peninsula High School.
That's a sad story. That's not the kind
Go
of story.
Go Panthers. Do I get tickets for that story?
Nope.
All right. On the rocks.
1-800-520-1067. He or she did you wrong. If you got a good story, we'll let you into the party. All right. While the P is here, we talked a little bit about the Super Bowl. Obviously, it's getting an exciting part of the NBA and the college basketball season. But look,
the Super Bowl. What about that anthem, man?
National anthem.
What about Leah Michelle? What about the 400 people that were displaced and had to go home?
Yeah, that was weird. They had 400 people that showed up with a ticket.
They had 1,200.
And they
did. At first, originally reported 9,000 were going to be displaced. Then it went down
to
5,000.
Did they just sell more than they had?
No, they had a bunch of tickets that they did not bother to inspect with the fire department.
Oh, I see.
Because they had so much going on with the ice falling off the building and whatnot that they just forgot.
This is Jerry Jones trying to get a record for attendance for the Super Bowl.
That's
blah, 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 what
it was. And they added all these extra seats, and then there was 400 people that never got in. So you imagine you flew to the
Super Bowl.
You paid $1,000 or $2,000 for your seat, and they give you a few thousand dollars and say, "Get your sorry ass home." I'd be pretty angry about it.
Yeah,
they had people on the news who were like, "Yeah, I brought my 80-year-old father down here. It was a trip of a lifetime. It's all he's ever wanted to do his whole life."
There are going to be some lawsuits against the NFL, and the NFL will settle them because they don't want it to go to court. They don't want people to talk about it anymore.
By the way, that stadium is like something from the future. It's the most unbelievable building I've ever seen, P.
Yeah, and they're going to build a lot more of those. There's going to be a lot more of those. If NFL teams are going to be places, they want a stadium like that. They want the IMAX thing. They want the complete experience. They want bars. They want chicken wings. They want mozzarella flaming nachos. They want giant boobs, cheerleaders with huge silicone boobs and ass implants. American excess, baby. That's what the NFL is all about. And then eventually, when somebody gets tackled, somebody's head, like Spartacus blood and sand, is just going to fly off, and there's going to be sex and masturbation in the stands.
It's going to be just like the Roman Empire.
That's what the NFL's becoming.
This farmer's field that they're talking about building in Southern California.
The Christians with lions.
Is that going to be a crazy, crazy stadium like that? Or is it going to be a little more modest affair?
Actually, Roger Goodell was kind of shrugging his shoulders and being like, we'll see if it's Super Bowl ready. We don't know. And we don't even have a team yet. And we're already. The thing I loved about the thing last week is they have this NFL stadium being unveiled. They have a title sponsor. Of course, there's a contingency plan for the title sponsor. And if an NFL team never comes, they never have to give any money to anybody. So there's a lot that has to happen. But there's everybody smiling. All these politicians taking credit. Magic Johnson, Deacon Jones, and his fake teeth are all out there smiling and shaking hands. It's like, wait a minute. We're not getting a team. And if we do get a team in LA, it'll be because we extracted it from some other poor community, and we're sitting here throwing a party when somebody's going to be brokenhearted. And if we take the Chargers, you think San Diego hates us now? Think how much San Diego will hate us if we snatch the Chargers from them. I know they started in L.A., but, I mean, if we take the Chargers, we're going to be poachers. Is that what we are in L.A.?
Yes.
Are we poachers?
I believe so.
You guys want a team that bad?
I don't.
Your life's not okay without the NFL here in L.A.?
I don't.
Think that. In your car right now, think to yourself. Close your eyes, you're driving. Is my life okay without the NFL? The answer is yes.
Here's the thing. I like the idea of bringing the Chargers here because there are so many Raiders fans, and I think it'll cause some good tension, and that's what we need, tension.
My life is fine without a team here.
And the NFL's life is fine without a team
here. My enjoyment, and I'm sure there's a lot of L.A. natives like myself who feel the same way, my enjoyment of the NFL is not what it could be if there wasn't. If there was an L.A. team, I'd be so much more into the NFL.
The NFL wants to hire me to do a post-game show. I will embrace that new team, whether it's the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Minnesota Vikings or the Chargers. My point is, we've been talking about a team coming here for so long. We've looked at so many dumbass sketches of dumbass stadiums that it's old now. Is Lywicki closer than anybody else has been in the history of trying to bring the NFL to L.A. since the Rams and Raiders left? Yes. The answer is yes. They're closer than they ever have been, but there's still a lot of steps to be taken, and I thought that press conference was a little premature. Way premature.
And you know premature.
I sure do. Oh, go Oh, mother.
One final note while we're talking about the Super Bowl before we say goodbye to our friend P. I read that Las Vegas took a bath yesterday with the Packers winning and covering the over, beating the spread. I heard that they just lost so much money out there.
Well, according to Matt Money Smith, who got his nickname Money, not because he doesn't like to gamble.
Correct.
Or talk about gambling.
Correct.
I heard from Matt Money Smith that they took a bath on the championship games, too. So if they took a bath on the championship games and they took a bath on the Super Bowl, that's a lot of bathing for Las Vegas. And
check it.
There he is. To hell with them. To hell with the Las Vegas betting people.
Why? What's
that's
Ray?
Why they call it gambling. Oh. You're either going to lose or you're going to win. That's why they wouldn't call it gambling if it wasn't a gamble.
So they should have to lose as well as us?
If everybody's going to lose, everybody's going to lose. That's your problem for betting. I heard that the anthem went over, though.
It did. But I've bet the under, and then she's changing up the words.
Now so you figure nullified?
Yeah. It should nullify the bet.
I think that's a pretty good point. She got Ream in there. Yeah, I didn't know that Ream was a... I don't know that Francis Scott Key put Ream in the national anthem when he wrote it.
She did take some liberties with the words.
She dirtied it up. I mean, Burlesque failed miserably. Her tour failed miserably. She's got that no-name husband squatting at her house in Beverly Hills.
And she looks like the vanilla Snooki.
She's got to live elsewhere. Hey, you know? Snooki's hot, dude.
She's gross.
And with that, we're going to say
and
goodbye.
With that. Big butterball of a girl. You don't like something like that?
Petros and Money. Check them out weekdays on Fox Sports Radio all across this great land of ours. And follow the P at Twitter.com, Petros and Money. Hey, great to see you again, buddy. Thanks for coming in.
Fight on. I love you.
Well, party people, 1 week from today is Valentine's Day. A lot of people don't like being single this time of year, and that's why we try to help them out with a singles party. And once again, we are returning to On the Rocks, above the Roxy, 9009 West Sunset Boulevard, beautiful Los Angeles, California. It's Kevin and Bean's Love on the Rocks singles party. Hit it, Steve.
Love on the Rocks with Kevin and Bean. One guy is stupid, the other one's mean.
Hey, F you. Hear you.
If you're alone, come to the party and bone someone new.
We're looking for you if you are 21 or older right now at 1-800-520-1067. The party is Saturday night, as I mentioned, brought to you by the hilarious new Owen Wilson film called Hall Pass, opening everywhere February 25th. And by the way, Kevin, while we're there, we're going to qualify everyone to win a trip for two to celebrate New Year's 2011 in Sydney, Australia. We're going to shoot a video of contestants.
Yeah.
I know. And then putting it up at kevinandbean.com next Monday, and then you can vote on who wins the trip to Australia. All right. What are we looking for this time in terms of what people are telling us?
We're looking for your significant other did you wrong.
Okay.
But you got to be kind of over it. Don't trust us with an emotional issue if you're not over it, because we're children and we cannot handle that. All right? Telling you up front. Let's begin with Tony. Hey, Tony. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What happened?
Lisa, what are you wearing?
Good question.
Too many
good
clothes, question. I'll tell you that.
That's for damn sure. So someone did you wrong. Tony, what happened?
Yeah, well, I was a bouncer at this nightclub, and I had to work that night. So my girlfriend came out, and she ended up like getting drunk with like a high school friend of hers behind my back. Didn't even tell me.
Was it a guy or a girl?
It was a guy.
Okay, good.
So she's getting all drunk and stuff, and by the end of the night, she's literally falling on the ground, totally embarrassing me. So, I get out of work early, and we leave, and, you know, it's Valentine's, so, you know, we were supposed to go get a room. So we go to get a room, and while I'm in there, you know, doing that, she throws up in my truck, like, opens my door, slams it on the parking thing, on the parking wall, literally falls out of my truck and practically hangs herself with my seatbelt.
She's a keeper.
I hear my alarm going off. I run outside to see what's going on. She's like banged her head on the ground. She's like hung, screaming and yelling at me. Totally turns it around on me.
Yeah.
And it just went from a good night to a horrible night.
Yeah.
And your truck never smelled the same either.
No, that's easy to get out.
Oh, yeah.
No problem with that.
Oh, man.
Well, it sounds like easy free sex, though. Am I missing the point?
You're missing the point. Yeah. You don't want it then.
So what you're saying is that was not a Valentine's Day to remember. You hope that our party this weekend will treat you a little bit better. That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm open.
Well, here's the beautiful thing. Thank you for calling, Tony. We're going to give you tickets. Bring a single male friend as well. Here's the beautiful thing about it. You might meet a date, but you didn't meet him in enough time that you have to buy something expensive for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, absolutely. That day's passed.
The party is Saturday, so then it's 2 days later.
No.
What are you going to do?
Exactly. You're right.
All right, let's talk to Kevin, line three here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the new singles party on the rocks in Hollywood this Saturday night. Kevin, who did you wrong and what happened?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hello.
What happened?
Hey, so I was dating this chick for about a year or so. A good friend of mine ended up dying last year right around this time. His family lived in Washington, so me and my friends made the road trip up to his funeral for the weekend.
She didn't go with you up there?
No, she did not. It was her birthday, so she wanted to stay at home with her family.
Okay.
So I get back from the funeral, and I was going through her phone. She had a bunch of texts from her ex, and I was really good friends with her best friend, and she was kind of open with me, and she kind of told me, yeah, something had gone on. So I broke it off right there. And it was like,
wait, she had sex with her ex while you were at a funeral?
Correct.
Hey, it's not her fault if you can't be there to meet her needs, man.
You're a little uptight. Seriously. Concerned, Kevin.
Why are you selfish?
The funny thing is, exactly 9 months later.
All right.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
All right, hang on. We'll see you at the party. Let's squeeze in one more. I want to get a lady on. You want to take either Monica or Gabrielle? We only have time for one real quick right now.
Let's do Gabrielle.
All right. Gabrielle, thank you for calling. Thank you. And by the way, go to KevinandBean.com, folks, for all the details. We will be giving away tickets every day this week on the air on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll do some via the email, too. Gabrielle, what happened?
Hey, I was with my boyfriend for 2 years, and I got dragged to move to Bakersfield. I lived in LA my whole life. And I was commuting to go see him every 2 hours on the weekend, 2 hours going over there. He was in the police academy. So he decides, I think it's really cool, to Facebook chat me.
Right.
Saying that he doesn't think it's okay for us to see each other anymore because he doesn't want to drive the 2 hours.
Oh, so he broke up with you using Facebook?
Yes.
He didn't.
After he came and we hung out and we had a cool weekend, and he decides to Facebook chat.
Wow, that's odd that he wouldn't do it while he was there if he was having those thoughts.
He was there the same day, and the next day he Facebook chat saying, "I didn't want to do it to your face. It would be too hard."
Wow.
Oh, God. What a weenie.
Wow.
She's saying, "Hey, how are you? I'm doing good. Oh, you know, I think it's time to break up."
Let's break up. All right, well, that's not the most thoughtful way to break up.
No, definitely not. But
although I suspect that you deserved it, to say the truth. I don't know, I'm just getting that vibe. I'm just saying. All right, Gabby, we'll see you Saturday night. We'll find out if I'm right or wrong. Thanks a lot for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. We got more tickets coming up tomorrow right here on the air. What about a debut of a new show on the Fox Network called The Chicago Code?
That's the Chicago Code.
Debuts that. They should have promoted that during the Super Bowl yesterday. I don't know why they didn't play any ads. Oh, wait a minute. Every 15
seconds.
Send one
of yours to the hospital. You send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago code.
That's the Untouchables. That's just the movie. This is a TV show. We'll talk to the star of the show, Jennifer Beals, joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph is the showbiz beat on the Monday. What's going on?
Super Bowl is awesome. Awesome.
It was a good game.
I really enjoyed it. It was touch and go, and it came down to field goal and a 6-point lead by the end. It was very entertaining. And I hope you stuck around for Glee afterwards. That was entertaining.
And by entertaining, you mean shitty?
Glee!
I don't think you can say that, Dean.
Oh, sorry. That's the only word I can think of.
I don't think you can use that word.
Come on, it was Glee, though.
Ralph, it was one of the worst episodes of television ever.
You don't know what it's like to have to dress up like a zombie in order to beat the other team in the championship game.
You're kidding, right? It was terrible.
It was awful.
Okay, yeah. Good.
It's even
for people who like Glee,
it's as if they're challenging themselves to say, how ridiculous can we make each episode now? How much further can we get out of the realm of anything remotely real?
Yeah.
But I thought it was realistic experience that half the team quit because they were being forced to sing in the Glee Club.
Right.
So the girls showed up and signed up for the football team to be put in during the final championship game. I thought that was realistic.
Thank you, Bean. At least finally you acknowledge that they have really brought the back to the high school roots of what made the show so successful initially. True stories about real kids and real experiences.
Wow.
That's something we can relate to. So we got that going for us.
I told Omar he would have lost his mind if he watched that last night.
Yeah, he
would have just went on a killing spree.
Rio Omar, an apology.
Brains.
Although the one part I really did like was the fact that last week the cast of Glee apologized to Lindsay Lohan for using her in an episode where Gwyneth Paltrow, playing a Spanish teacher, kept making the class repeat Lindsay Lohan is crazy in Spanish as part of their lesson. And she was very offended by that, and Dina Lohan was especially offended by that and said, it's ridiculous, how could they do that, to treat another professional actor that way, and blah, 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 blah. So last week they apologized. Huh. Last night's episode, they called Dina Lohan one of the biggest losers in the world.
That's right.
Katie Couric listed her as one of the biggest losers in the world, along with Sparky Lohan, her dog, also one of the biggest
yes,
losers.
They're piling on.
So it's funny. A kiss and a slap right there this week, which I thought was spectacular.
That is funny.
But the most important part of last night's programming, I'm sure you caught it, was the Puppy Bowl.
Yeah!
When Big Red scored that touchdown. No. One of the best touchdowns I've ever seen.
There's no touchdown being scored.
Oh,
the
Kevin,
Puppy Bowl is, what's that,
you
Animal Planet?
You are no sports fan. You are Animal no Planet? Sports fan if you can't appreciate the athleticism. It took Big Red.
I don't know Big Red.
You know Big Red.
I don't!
He's the puppy golden retriever.
I didn't.
Or the red retriever, whatever he is. He's a retriever. And the way he scored that touchdown with that chew toy, Kevin, well, the place just went crazy.
Did it?
Here, listen for yourself.
Puppy touchdown!
Big Red is a powerhouse. Up in our icebreakers blimp, our hamster pilots are loving this hard-hitting hound action. And the chicken cheerleaders are going wild. Look at that enthusiasm.
Yes, Kevin.
That did not happen.
The hamster pilots inside of the blimp over the stadium were loving it, and then the chicken cheerleaders went crazy.
I take back everything I said about Glee.
I thought you might.
That sounds like the worst show ever.
It was.
Wow.
Oh, man.
But didn't they have a kitten halftime show at the Puppy Bowl?
They did. It was an all-kitten halftime show.
Yeah.
So it had that going for it.
Wow.
Speaking of bad, the Situation has announced he's leaving Jersey Shore.
What? Oh, no. Yeah. How will they go on?
Says, hopefully by the end of the year, I'll be in a movie. He wants to be a movie star now.
Okay.
There's only so long you can rule the reality world. Maybe another year or so of reality, then I'm going to graduate to movies, he said.
It's overruled!
Wait for it. It's like Michael Jordan.
Uh-oh.
There's only so long you can keep winning them rings. You got to move on and try something different.
So this is going to be his trying baseball?
Yeah.
Like Michael Jordan did?
Yeah.
So successful?
I think it'll have the same results, quite frankly. Well, you all saw what a good actor he was in that public service announcement with Bristol Palin.
Oh, that
You know
that
he's
was
got
good.
The chops.
That was good.
Right. I got condoms.
Magnums.
Magnums. Situation's always ready. Come on now.
I hear you.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Ashton Kutcher's 33 years old today. Wes Borland of Limp Bizkit turns 36. Chris Rock celebrates his 46th birthday today. Comedian Eddie Izzard is 49, as is country singer Garth Brooks. James Spader is 51. Triumph the Insult comic dog creator. Comedian Robert Smigel is 51 as well. And actor Miguel Ferrer celebrates his 56th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
By the way, great stuff this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, including not only tickets for our new singles party, Love on the Rocks, every day this week, but JWoww is going to be on the program. The Black Keys are going to be in studio later this week. Dr. Drew, Adam Carolla, our guest, Sarah Shahi from the new Fairly Legal. She's going to be joining us. A lot of good stuff coming up. And apparently also Matthew Perry, by the way, will be joining us tomorrow here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Apparently they have found Jennifer Beals from the new Chicago Code, and we'll be talking to her in about 10 minutes or so. That's still to come as well.
I don't know if you saw over the weekend. I put it up at kevinandbean.com. There were two things that happened that were really amazing. One was three hockey fights in 4 seconds at the beginning of a game.
Wow.
So the clock starts at 20 minutes, and then they stop it at 1959 for a fight. And then they stop it at 1957 for a fight, and then they stop it at 1956 for a fight.
That game must still be going on if it goes at that pace.
Three fights in the first 4 seconds.
Who was playing? What was going on?
It was Dallas and Boston. I don't know what kind of animosity they had, but clearly that was the plan, and they didn't all fight at once. One fight, and then they'd start the game again in another fight. It was ridiculous.
That's amazing.
So I put up a video of that. You can watch that. And also the Anderson Silva. I don't know if you watched the UFC on Saturday night, Vitor Belfort. But Joe Rogan said that he had never seen anything like that in the 1,000 fights that he's called. And it was a front kick, which is not really a knockout kick, right to the jaw and just knocked him the hell out. Now,
I hear it kind of rearranged his face. It was such a tough kick.
It was brutal. I mean, he nailed him. I guess he was going a little bit lower, and he made Belfort think that he was going to kick lower, but he kicked him right in the chin and just knocked him out in the first round. So, but that's not the most interesting part, a thing that Joe Rogan had never seen in 1,000 fights. What was the most interesting part is that Steven Seagal, you remember him? The actor, the fat actor from Hard to Kill and all those.
Yeah, from all those three-word movies. Sure, I remember him. But he's been kind of off the... I mean, the last thing we saw him do is he was riding around as a New Orleans police officer.
Yes.
Remember on that reality show?
Yeah,
but
what
I didn't
a
think
blowhard,
he did it.
Right?
A total blowhard. But didn't he used to have some sort of background in karate or something?
He always said that, and I always doubted it. But then he was in the corner of Anderson Silva at the fight. Steven Seagal.
Okay.
Okay, so what happens is Anderson Silva comes out, and neither of these two guys, because both are great. This guy, Belfort is not a joke. They're great. So they kind of just feel each other out. Nobody really throws a punch or a kick for 2 or 3 minutes. And then Anderson Silva just ends it in the first round with that one kick. Done.
Ooh.
And they interviewed Steven Seagal afterwards. And Anderson Silva said that Steven Seagal taught him... perfected that kick. He gave Steven Seagal credit for helping train. And there's a video up of Steven Seagal helping Anderson Silva train.
Why does Anderson Silva need to go to a guy like Steven Seagal for anything? I mean, Anderson Silva is a champion for 5 years. He's been the champion in the UFC.
That was the most shocking thing I've ever seen. Because Steven Seagal, to me, fat.
Mm-hmm.
Probably never a martial artist. You know what I mean? Like he's the kind of guy that would lie about that. But there's a long thing. There's two different things. There's one where they're interviewing him after the fight, which I'm going to play for you. And then there's another one where they actually show the training footage where he's showing him how to hold your arm and what to do. And he supposedly showed him that kick. Okay, so here's... So remember what I said. 2-3 minutes, nobody did anything, and then the kick came. Here's what Steven Seagal said after the fight.
It's Steven Seagal. Today you were here with Anderson. What did you think of the fight?
I couldn't have been happier because right before he walked out, I said, you know... stay away from him for the first, you know, 2-3 minutes. Just kind of get him frustrated and then fake low and come high and do that kick that I've been teaching you.
Okay, so he told him exactly what to do. Now, if you know fighters, you know you can't just say, here's what I want you to do for the first 2 minutes and then fake low and go high. They have to kind of roll with it in the ring and whatever works, works. But Steven Seagal... claims that that's exactly what he told Anderson Silva to do.
You know what's weird about this is this sounds like almost exactly the plot line of one of the big fights in The Fighter. Remember where Dickie tells, you know, Christian Bale's character tells Mark Wahlberg, here's how you need to fight this, is don't do anything for the first, like, 6 rounds, and then tire him out and then go in there and
but this was more specific. This was, and then do the kick I showed you.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Ridiculous.
And kick him in the head or the face, and he did exactly what I said, and exactly what I wanted to happen happened, and I was very, very proud of him.
That's great that he did exactly what Steven Seagal wanted him to do. Come on!
Who's listening to Steven Seagal on any topic?
Mike, you say Anderson Silva's a practical joker.
Oh, he's renowned for being a major jokester and really committing to being a prankster.
So you think this whole thing's a goof?
Yeah.
I would imagine.
But I think Steven Seagal is the perfect guy to believe it and buy into it. Like, I think Steven Seagal is serious.
Oh, you do?
But I think behind the scenes, Anderson Silva's like, you got to be kidding me with this guy. Fat American actor. But Steven Seagal does definitely have a background in martial arts. Like,
Steven Seagal
can definitely whoop some ass.
Really?
He's not like a...
He's fat and old.
He's not an integral part of Anderson Silva's camp.
Right. Yeah.
How long has that been going on?
Well, gosh, I don't know how long ago that was. I don't really keep track of space and time too well, but... maybe a year and a half ago, something like that, was that tape anyway. And
that's the tape that we put up of him in the ring with Anderson Silva teaching him stuff.
You know, at that time, I really started working hard on that kick with him.
Oh, come on.
You think that Anderson Silva, away from Steven Seagal, is laughing with his friends going, look at what I got Seagal to believe that he had something to do with the training?
Yeah, he's a really kooky dude, Anderson Silva. And remember we had Rochelle Leigh from the UFC on the show a while back, and she traveled down to Anderson's hometown, and she said hanging out with him, it's just nonstop. He's just cracking jokes. He's dancing. He's always pulling pranks, like classic.
What are the chances that Steven Seagal showed him that kick?
0%.
And told him to do it.
I based that on nothing, but I'm saying 0%.
That's what I thought when I heard it. I was no way.
This is a guy who trains at the most elite camp in the world in Brazil. He's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. He's one of the best strikers on the planet. He's a Muay Thai expert. There's no possibility he said, I'm going to throw that all away. All the stuff I've learned for 30 years, you know, living in Brazil, being a highly skilled ass kicker. And I'm going to take your advice, Fat Steven Seagal. who doesn't kick people even in his movies. Yeah. He's like, he only moves his hands because he's too fat to even lift his leg.
You can see all of this video at kevinandbean.com.
Is that more likely, Mike, the situation you've described, or is it more likely that you're really trying to bring back the word kooky? Which of those two is more likely?
Both.
But there's no way Steven Seagal trained him. That didn't happen. This is all a ruse, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Please tell me.
It's hilarious, though.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. Go to kevinandbean.com.
We'll catch up with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up in about 15 minutes or so on The Kevin and Bean Show. Will Lindsay Lohan get felony charges against her for stealing a necklace? We'll find out. First, though, the critically acclaimed creator of The Shield, also Lie to Me, Sean Ryan, is back with a new show that debuts tonight on the Fox Network. It is called The Chicago Code. Jennifer Beals is one of the stars of the show, and she joins us now on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Jennifer, how are you?
Good, thank you. Good morning.
I want to start by saying, as a lifelong Chicagoan, I know you must be very depressed today to see the Green Bay Packers winning their Super Bowl yesterday. That must really hurt you deeply.
You know, I was rooting for the Packers, to be honest.
What? As a Bears fan? How can you do that?
Well, because you want to believe, well, I can I tell you the,
did
well,
they knock
I
the Bears
I can't
out?
Tell you the real reason. But
Wait, you can't say the real reason.
Well, it has something to do with Pittsburgh's quarterback.
Oh, hey, look, there were a lot of people that were rooting against Rapey. I know where you're coming from.
I bet a lot of them were women.
Yeah, I don't think that's what he's known as, but all right.
He's known as Rapey. Everybody knows that.
Okay, I gotcha.
I wouldn't all do right. that. I wouldn't do that. But I just, you know.
I gotcha.
Now, first of all.
And also, I want to believe that whatever team defeated the Bears must be so excellent that they would go on to win the Super
Bowl. That always does make you feel a little bit better if they don't just fizzle out the game after they beat you. You know, it really does.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about the Chicago Code. I think that Fox should have put that on after the Super Bowl last night to give you the biggest launch of all time instead of a super crappy episode of Glee. I wish that had happened, but at least they promoted it a lot, so a lot of people know that it does debut tonight at 9 o'clock on the Fox channel. And this is unlike any of the other cop shows that are on the air, right?
So I've been told.
It seems like it would be a difficult task to take on the cop genre, you know, and kind of not repeat any other show because there's always a cop drama on.
Right. But I see, the truth is I have to give full disclosure. I'm not a big TV watcher, so I'm the least capable of analyzing the differences between the shows. But I will say that our cop drama has a female superintendent taking on corruption on different levels in the city. Not only is she taking on crime in the street, she's taking on corruption in City Hall, and she's taking on corruption within her own department. So you're working on all kinds of levels. I don't know how that compares to other cop dramas. Maybe somebody else could tell.
Well, for instance, I mean, we mentioned the creator, Sean Ryan, who also did The Shield. I mean, that was kind of showing you the perspective of the bad guys. This show is showing you the perspective of the good guys, is one change from that show anyway. But I was really surprised to see how much it looked like how deeply embedded you actually are with Chicago police officers. I mean, with ride-alongs, and it looks like they gave you really extensive cooperation when you were making this show. Is that a fact?
They were amazing.
And that surprised me so much, since the plot line is about corruption in Chicago. I would think that's the type of thing they'd want to stay as far away from as possible.
Well, but everybody, I mean, the police that we worked with know that, you know, well, at least let me just go back. The people that I worked with were amazing. The police officers that I worked with were so hardworking, so dedicated. Their job is horrifically difficult. I wouldn't last for 30 seconds in that job. And you realize that there are a handful of officers who are making life horrible for the rest of the officers. You know, those people who are corrupt need to go because it makes it harder for everybody else to do their job because there's no respect for them on the street.
Yeah. You've been an actress for 30 years now. How do you rank this in terms of the difficulty of assignments that you've pulled in all that time?
God, you know what? I think it's one of the most difficult for me because I have no experience at all with
being the superintendent of police?
Yeah, none.
Really? None?
No, that sounded so crazy.
That never happened, not even once before?
No, I know. Maybe not in one lifetime that I've had have I ever been superintendent. You know, a dancer, yes. A welder,
sure,
yes.
Sure.
You know, maybe gay in some lifetime.
Sure.
No superintendent.
Now, you have a bad guy in Delroy Lindo, and I've seen him in so many shows, and yet I didn't know his name, and so I went to, you know, I was watching to find out who he is because he's such a great bad guy, and he's the kind of bad guy who just smiles and looks you in the face and shakes your hand while he's stabbing you in the back. I think that's probably the best part of the show, but I don't understand what an alderman is. He's an alderman.
Well, Chicago is divided up into wards. And the alderman represents a ward. And this is one of the reasons why people in Chicago are so connected to what's going on politically in the city, why they're so involved, because they have such access to the people who represent them. And so he plays an alderman who is corrupt, and yes, he does some good things, and he is smiling. But, you know, the devil never comes in with his horns and a tail. He comes in, you know, the finest suits and with the finest drinks and the finest cigars and the finest cars.
He's so great in that role.
He's scary. He's a scary guy. We are talking to actress Jennifer Beals about the Chicago Code. It debuts tonight at 9 o'clock on the Fox Channel. Kevin, I believe we've got a clip. What are we going to hear here?
We do. This is you and Jarek Wysocki. Is that his name, Jason Clark?
Yeah.
And you had just had a meeting with him, and you're both trying to bring him down because he's an evil bastard. And you're in charge as the superintendent, and this guy, Wysocki, just did something you didn't like.
You don't like the way I do things, why ask for my help?
Please tell me we know more than what you just told Gibbons.
The dead woman was getting ready to whistleblow on the bosses at Fergus Construction, cooking the books, underbidding bribes to downtown.
And you can tie this directly to Gibbons?
No.
I am trying to get two gangs to lay down their guns before midnight. I am taking on the police union and 100 pissed off, recently demoted, armed cops. Do not force me into hand-to-hand combat with the second most powerful man in Chicago after the mayor until you know something.
Way more powerful than the mayor. And if you want to take on corruption, this is how it's done.
Chicago Code is getting tremendous early reviews. I got one last question for you, Jennifer. That is, yeah, it's a lot of fun to shoot in your hometown in the summertime, but have you had to shoot any episodes during the blizzard of the past few months?
No, but we had to shoot a scene that was supposed to take place in late summer, and it started to snow.
Oh, good.
And that became really interesting. You know, as you're sucking on ice cubes to try to make it so your breath doesn't show.
Wow. You know, tonight.
Yeah.
On Fox. Jennifer, great to talk to you. Good luck with the show. Congratulations. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. It's very good. It's the Chicago Code tonight at 9 on Fox.
Coming up just after the top of the hour, we'll talk some more about Super Bowl 45 yesterday. You've got to hear some of the lowlights of the Black Eyed Peas musical performance. It's unbelievable that they're popular. Unbelievable. Anyway, also we'll catch up with Florence Welch from Florence and the Machine, who's got a very busy next couple of weeks on the way. We love her. Always excited to have her on the program. Right now, though, speaking of people we're excited to talk to, our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us with our Monday recap. Harvey, how was your weekend, my friend?
It was good. Hi, Alyssa May.
Good morning.
Hi there.
You enjoy that Super Bowl? Any thoughts real quick before we get into all the good gossip?
No good comes of any star singing the national anthem.
Yeah,
that's the truth.
Yeah, that was fairly tragic with Christina, wasn't it?
That was great.
The only one that should do it is Britney, because she doesn't actually sing and she could get it right.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, you know, in previous years, there have been a lot of sporting events, in fact, where the singer will go in and they'll tape it, and then they'll just lip sync to a recorded version. Whitney Houston, probably the most famous of all of those. But there was no question Christina was live, I'll tell you that, with the way she screwed that up.
So here's my question. Best national anthem ever, which celebrity?
Well, Marvin Gaye at the NBA All-Star Game is the gold standard.
Yep.
Wow,
that's the one. You agree. All right. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to TMZ.com. New stuff coming in fast and furious. And I'm not talking about the new movie with The Rock that we saw advertised during the game yesterday. I'm talking about from your friend Charlie Sheen, who just seems to want privacy yet can't stop reaching out and telling everybody everything he's doing, right?
Well, if you go to the top, I don't know if you guys have seen it yet. We published this about 10 minutes ago.
We did.
Oh, my God. It's a picture of Charlie watching the Super Bowl yesterday, and it's in the theater where he was with the porn star just like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Right.
But he's just chilling on his own. It looks like he's drinking some water, posing for the camera alone. It was a real low-key Super Bowl for him. So
right.
I think what he's kind of showing is, hey, you know,
I'm doing okay.
I'm fine. And then everybody else came in after they took the picture and put it up.
When do you think he will claim that he's healed and go back to work?
Well, what I'm told, and I'm pretty sure this is right, they're only going to miss two episodes now. And so probably the end of the month, they'll go back, and what they're going to do is at the end of the season, they'll make up those two episodes. But right now, assuming everything goes according to plan, right toward the end of February, he's going back.
Wow, so just a couple more weeks from now, then.
Yeah, it is pretty radical, isn't it? Having
pretty quick rehab.
Yeah.
Wow. That seems like that could backfire, but okay.
Harvey, you were burning up your Twitter feed yesterday with late-breaking inside sources telling you that it's going to potentially be a very, very bad day for Lindsay Lohan today. What's going on?
Yeah, she is going to be charged with felony grand theft. And she has already been informed of it. Her lawyer, Sean Chapman Hawley, has been informed of it. She's going to be prosecuted by Danette Myers, who is the she's a unbelievably good DA who she won prosecutor of the year twice, but she's really tough, really formidable, and she's going to prosecute her. So Lindsay's in trouble, and this is for allegedly stealing that $2,500 necklace at the jewelry store in Venice, California. So it may well come down today. We're told that is likely. It's not necessarily a lock today. It looks like it will, but she will be charged with grand theft.
Is she still on probation?
Yeah, she's still on probation, and this could violate her probation. But here's the thing, guys. The probation pales in comparison to the actual grand theft charge, because with probation, even if the judge violates her, she'll get jail time. On the felony grand theft, she could potentially get 3 years in state prison, and prison is a whole lot worse than jail.
Yeah. Listen, I know that what we've understood so far is that her defense is going to be, oh, I thought I was just a celebrity and they were lending me the jewelry, and that happens all the time. Let's face it, every red carpet in town, somebody's got jewelry that's on loan. But the jewelry store is saying that not only was that not said, but we have a procedure that we follow. We fill out paperwork and you have to sign something and it has to be, you know, witnessed and blah, 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 blah. And none of that happened. None of the normal transference of material happened in this case, right?
Okay, well, but I'll give you an argument here. No. Yes, you're right, and they didn't. There's no paperwork. You're absolutely right. But her position is: look, people throw things at me to wear out in public because they know I'm going to get photographed all the time.
Hey, by the way, I buy that.
And I buy it too, and also there's actual photographic proof that that's true. Now, that said, one of the elements of this crime is that when she walks out of the store, she has to have an intention to permanently deprive the jewelry store of ownership of that necklace. So if a jury believes, it's almost like the Ditzy defense. If the jury believes that she was so used to getting this stuff on loan that she honestly never thought that she was stealing it, but this was just another loan, that could pull it out for her, theoretically.
Yeah, I can see that. But the one piece of the puzzle that's been missing for me, Harvey, is if the jewelry store didn't want her to walk out with their $2,500 necklace, why didn't they say something to her or go after her or ask her to bring it back at the time she was leaving?
It's a really, really good question. And the other thing is, they said they tried to work with her that day to get it back, but they couldn't get in touch with anybody, so they called the police the next day.
Hmm.
I mean, if you do see somebody, you know, walking out with it, and you wait 24 hours to call the police, you know, this is not a slam dunk necessarily.
Hey, Harvey, absolutely. Is the deputy district attorney good enough to put Lindsay's mom in jail? For something.
Anything?
For anything? Just anything else. Is there a way Lindsay's mom could go down?
Now you're talking.
Nope. I mean,
Danette Myers would do a true service. Danette Myers is actually running for district attorney. If she did that, she would definitely
she
get
would win. Absolutely. It would be a landslide.
All the latest on Lindsay Lohan, also Charlie Sheen, the Shia LaBeouf arrest over the weekend, and maybe the best picture I've seen of Katy Perry in several months that's up at TMZ.com.
Did you see our headline?
Yes.
Katy Perry held up in Mexico City. I don't know what's holding them up, but it's unnatural. It looks like she's defying the laws of physics in that dress that those boobs don't fall out. It's incredible. All right. Everything's available at TMZ.com. Check your local listings for TMZ television. Harvey, thanks for coming on, pal. Have a great week.
You too.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 5 minutes till 9 o'clock.
Ralph Garman joins us every hour at this time on the Kevin and Bean Show for a look at the Showbiz Beat. It's Monday. What's going on?
Because it's Monday, we look at the top movies at the box office over the weekend. The Roommate came out number one. $15.6 million. Made it number one this week, and well above what many people were expecting would be the number one film, which is the new James Cameron 3D adventure thriller Sanctum. Movie came out in 3D, which means, you know, a little bump in the ticket prices. Yeah. You expect a little extra something. It only made $9.2 million this weekend.
Let me ask you guys this question. Do you think that that movie suffered from people not really understanding what it was because it was James Cameron in 3D? It kind of looked like one of his underwater documentaries that he's been putting out for the past few years. It didn't really look like an actual regular action movie.
I don't think so.
There was some confusion there, maybe?
No, because I don't think a lot of people are really all that aware of his 3D underwater documentaries.
Because he's always doing those, too. You know, the we take you down to the Titanic and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, but they're not nearly as widely publicized as this thing was. You couldn't avoid the commercials and the billboards and the ads.
I guess no stars didn't help with this one either.
Yeah. And crappy reviews.
Although no real stars in Avatar, really, either, when you think about it. At the time, Sam Worthington wasn't as well known as he is now.
Right, right.
I think a lot of people were perhaps turned off by the idea of swimming underwater and being trapped underwater. I think there's a claustrophobia factor that a lot of people said, this doesn't seem like a good time for me for 2 hours to be trapped underground in fear of drowning. It may not be an enjoyable experience. Not as much fun as soaring above a fictional world on dragons, being blue in my hair, having sex. You know?
That's true.
Yeah.
Right.
That sounds like more fun. No Strings Attached was third. The King's Speech was fourth. The Green Hornet came in at number five. Then The Right, The Mechanic, True Grit, The Dilemma, and Black Swan rounding out the rest of the top ten. My buddy Melissa Leo really wants an Oscar. Really wants an Oscar. She was talking on the Jimmy Kimmel Show last week about the fact that it's true she has personally paid for ads in the trade papers asking the Academy members to vote for her for Best Supporting Actress. She already won the Golden Globe and the Screen Actors Guild Awards and the Critics' Choice Awards.
I thought studios buy those for you.
Ordinarily they do. But she has taken ads herself out, personally asking people to vote for her.
That's weird.
Now, this is a strategy that often is not used by actors because some say it makes people seem a little desperate and needy when you're asking people to vote for you.
Might backfire because of that.
But Melissa said she had to do it because she can't get any traction in any other magazines or things like that. Everybody wants to put Natalie Portman on the cover of their magazine.
As well they should.
Nobody wants to put Melissa Leo on the cover of a magazine. And Melissa claims it's because it's ageism. Because she's an older actress, she has a hard time getting attention.
She's not as hot.
Right. I think she's right.
She isn't as hot.
She isn't as hot.
I mean, she really isn't.
But so she had to take matters in her own hands, and I think, well, good for you. I hope it pays off in the long run.
Is she the front runner in that in her supporting actress category, Ralph? Based on the award she's already won for this role?
Based on those, yes, and because of the affection for Christian Bale's performance in The Fighter and the success of the film in general, there's a lot of talk that'll carry her over as well. So we'll have to wait and see. Speaking of actresses, people talking about either Natalie Portman or Rachel McAdams as potentially playing Lois Lane in the new Superman movie.
Both would be good.
Let's have them both do it.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Split the
simultaneously delivering the lines.
I like
that. We make Lois twins. Works for me. Let's reinvent the whole thing, shall we? Sylvester Stallone has announced his next film.
Oh, good.
He will be playing a New Orleans hitman who teams up with a New York City cop to solve murders in Washington, D.C.
What?
The movie's called All Over the Effing Place. No word yet on who will star as the New York City cop, so we'll have to wait and see.
Wow.
I hope it's Kurt Russell. They're like a Tango and Cash reunion. It's so awesome.
The world's waiting for that.
Tango. I'm Cash. Freeze. Mother effers. Before I get to celebrity birthdays, I have a quick email I need to read. Where is that email?
Oh, I hope you can find it.
I'm serious. I can't find the email.
Oh, I really wish you
could. Oh, here it is. Okay.
Oh, good.
It has to do with the birthday, so excellent. I thought it'd be appropriate. This comes from listener Gina Smalling. Thanks for writing in, Gina. Ralph, enjoy your show, BizBeat. I especially like it when you read the list of celebrity birthdays. That's my favorite, but I wanted to let you know you left out a very important birthday today.
Uh-oh.
Star of TV's Who's the Boss celebrates their 80th birthday today. I'm not talking about Tony Danza. I'm talking about the female lead of Who's the Boss. That's right. Judith Light is 80.
Was that it?
Yeah, yeah. Judith Light is 80. Yeah, yeah. Judith Light is 80. Yeah, yeah. Judith Light is 80.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Seriously. Everybody play something now.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Thank you, Gene. I appreciate that.
There's no way Judith Light is 80.
She isn't.
Oh, so that was bad too?
Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't do the historical research for the lame ass dude looks like a lady bit. What the F is wrong with you?
I'm just saying.
He is just saying.
That was terrible.
That was terrible.
P.S. Keep doing song parodies. Kevin and Bean really seem to enjoy them.
Yes, I will. I will be doing it. That was so bad, I can't believe it wasn't ugly last night.
Yeah. Today's fail. Celebrity birthdays.
Epic fail.
I don't believe that a cannon that size could actually shoot someone through goalposts into a net. I don't think the physics of that scene was correct.
I would like television to be a little bit more realistic, yes.
Yes, that's what a lot of us would like a great many things that don't come to pass.
I am still alive.
Yeah, that's right. Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Smigel, Triumph the Insult comic dog. He's 51 years old today. Actor James Spader, also 51. Garth Brooks, 49 years old, as is comedian Eddie Izzard. Chris Rock is 46 today. Limp Bizkit guitarist Wes Borland is 36 years old. Ashton Kutcher celebrates his 33rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:43.
Ralph has the worst job in the world.
He does. How about that? Sometimes the best, sometimes the worst. Depends on who's talking at any given moment.
Time for our final look at the showbiz beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean show. What's going on, Ralph?
Because it's Monday, we always like to take a look at the weekend box office and see who's going to see what in the theaters. And this weekend, I guess all the fellas were sitting at home watching football, and all the girls went out to catch the roommate. See those two catty girls, just old you crazy female roommate. Stop going through my clothes and borrowing things.
I could see a lot of guys wanting to go see that on Friday and Saturday, too, by the way, just because of how hot the actresses are in it.
Yeah, I suppose.
I sort of have a boner.
But it seems to me to be a very female-centric plot line, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Girls,
I can see that.
You know,
your roommate is crazy.
Right. And then, you know, the cattiness results. But, something for everybody in this movie. Apparently, $15.6 million at the box office was good enough to make it number one this weekend. Sanctum 3D, in its debut, only made $9.2 million. So not a lot of people wanted to go spelunking with Australians for 2 hours. No Strings Attached was third. Then The King's Speech and Green Hornet round out your top five. The Right, The Mechanic, True Grit, The Dilemma, and Black Swan rounding out the top 10.
And you share Kevin's enthusiasm for No Strings Attached, if I remember correctly. Right, Ralph?
I love it. Yeah. I just said it wasn't too bad.
It's bad. It is bad.
I didn't think it was too bad.
But it is. I know you didn't think it was, but it is. That's the problem. Yeah. You go around saying it's not too bad, and then people go, and it turns out it's bad. That's
but any movie with Natalie Portman,
I love Natalie Portman as much as the next guy.
She's just using him for sex. So that now I'm in.
Yeah, remember that hilarious moment where she invites him to her father's funeral without telling him it's a funeral. So he shows up in a sweatshirt and shorts. See, but that's funny, right?
Well, I wouldn't hold that up as an example of.
So then it's the period mixtape he makes when she's on her period, and you thought that was funny. You thought that was funny when that happened.
Just saying.
No, I'm just wondering what were the funny parts that you were talking about then? If I bring up these parts that aren't funny, what was funny?
Natalie Portman.
She's not funny. She's hot. I know.
Right.
Well, there are other sources of hot Natalie Portman.
Okay, but that's all I need. You have to lower your bar, Ralph. You got to lower it. That way you enjoy everything.
Keep your hands off my bar, mister. I'm keeping it right where it is.
Like first of all, gay. Second of all, stupid.
Speaking of movies, The Situation has announced he's going to be leaving reality television because he plans on being a movie star.
Overruled.
Maybe another year or so of reality, says, then I'm going to graduate to movies.
Sure.
It's like Michael Jordan. It's only so long you can keep winning them rings.
He's the Michael Jordan of television?
Television. You got to move on and try something different. I love to be in front of the camera. I love performing. I love entertaining. So movies is definitely the next step.
Yep.
He's right. That's the obvious step for him.
You have your head up your ass.
From just drinking every night and lifting his shirt to acting in movies, it seems like a natural progression.
It is the next step.
That's how De Niro started. You know, he used a fist pump in the clubs in New York, and then next thing you know, he was working with Scorsese, so he's got a lot.
You got to think before you get into a situation. A PBYP, that ain't no PB&J sandwich.
Yeah, that happened.
This just hurts. Hurts on every level.
But you know he's not going to make it, so it's fine. Right?
I used to believe
we lived in a country where somebody like the situation couldn't even be a popular television personality, and I was wrong about that. So who knows?
You guys catch the Captain America trailer on the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
First Avenger. Daddy. Oh, Daddy is right. Chris Evans coming out of that that machine there, looking all buff, looking all roided out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Super soldier.
I think I fast forwarded through that ad.
What? That movie looks awesome.
It does look pretty good.
Yeah, it's a World War II movie. Captain America
not
fighting the Nazis.
He doesn't like any action movies. You know that. Bean does not like action. He wants people to be sitting on a couch. And that's it.
What if Captain America just sat on a couch?
Then he would be into it.
Instead of a shield, he carried just a star-spangled remote control.
He'd be into it.
Then would he,
Can he stutter? If he stutters, I'm in.
Well, it looks like Kobe Smulders.
Oh, yes.
From How I Met Your Mother is currently the front runner for the role of a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. S.H.I.E.L.D., is the secret organization in the Marvel Comics that Nick Fury operates. That's played by Samuel L. Jackson in the high-profile Iron Man films. And he's going to be doing the Avengers film as well. She will be starring as S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Maria Hill in the upcoming Avengers movie. That's one where we get to see all of them, by the way. See Sam Jackson as Nick Fury. RDJ as Iron Man, Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye, Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow, Chris Hemsworth as the Thor, Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner in the Hulk, and Chris Evans as Captain America.
And this is next Friday?
This would be, I believe, 2012.
Then don't
13,
talk to me about it. If it's 2013.
Listen, can't you get excited?
No.
Before
yes, but then I get
something
excited.
Comes out?
Right, but then
are you not allowed to talk about Christmas until December 23rd?
Correct.
Can't you just look forward to something with anticipation?
I'm saying 2013.
One of the ads they ran yesterday, I can't remember which movie it was. I was very excited about it. And then I saw it was not going to be out until April. And I was like, what? I don't need to know about that now. And now you're talking about movies that are like a year from then. I'm with Kevin on this one. I've got to be honest.
Before you know it, it'll
and
be
you know
here.
How painful that
before
is for being with me.
Justin Bieber likes to pretend he's a normal everyday teenager, but that's just not the case.
What's a Bieber?
The Aussie commercial was funny.
That was funny. He had one of his bodyguards beat up a photographer the other night. Apparently a paparazzo got a little too close to him, and his bodyguard allegedly put him in his place and was arrested Wednesday night. Photographer claimed he was pushed against an SUV by Bieber's bodyguard and is now suffering from lower back pain. Freaking paparazzi. Is there any softer group in the world?
Oh, he touched me camera. I rolled over my foot.
What a bunch of pussies.
And by the way, what kind of a self-respecting job is that to follow a teenager around to take pictures of?
Yeah, depends on the teenager, you know what I'm saying?
You know who should be complaining of the paparazzi is the cameraman that got the camera shoved right through his eye yesterday in the Super Bowl.
Oh, that poor sucker got hit on the sidelines. Just got wrecked.
Just rammed that camera right through his head.
And the guy in American Idol the other night, the guy was doing a back handspring and landed on him and pushed the camera through his face when he stepped on him. Those guys.
Those are injuries.
They're like special forces of photographers compared to the paparazzi. Bitching and moaning. Ooh, I got pushed against an SUV. Ow. And fans of the TV series Chase on NBC are going to be upset. Both of them.
When does it debut?
It's been on for some time now, Mike. NBC has announced they're putting it on indefinite hiatus to make room for another hour of Minute to Win It. So
at least they're not canceling it.
No.
That's good news for them.
They're just putting it in the freezer to keep it fresh until they pull it out again and they warm it up.
Is that how they fire you now? No, you're not fired. You're just on indefinite hiatus.
Right. We're not going to give you a check for a while, and you won't be here. But, you know, anything can happen.
We haven't canceled it.
We live in a world where possibilities are endless. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Miguel Ferrer, very talented actor. Oh, he was so good on Twin Peaks. What else has he been on? He's been in a bunch of stuff. Always good. He's got a show now. I think he's on a series now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Chase.
He's Chase. Poor bastard. He's 56 years old today. Comedian Robert Smigel. Very, very funny guy. Best known probably for being Triumph the Insult Comic Dog is 51. James Spader from Boston Legal, also 51. Garth Brooks, 49 years old today, as is comedian Eddie Izzard. Chris Rock turns 46. Chris Steve Nash of the Phoenix Suns is 37.
Who's Chris Steve Nash?
Limp Bizkit guitarist Wes Borland celebrates his 36th birthday, and Ashton Kutcher is 33 years old today. I'm going to make him a period mixtape for his birthday. That's what I'm going to give him, because that's the funniest thing anyone can give anybody ever.
That was lame.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin Devine Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We are going to give away some more tickets for our singles party, Love on the Rocks 2. That is tomorrow morning. And also, we're going to talk to the star of Mr. Sunshine, Matthew Perry.
What?
How about that?
I can't wait for that show. It looks very funny.
It does look funny. So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin Devine Show.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including the new one from the band Foster the People that I think was debuted on Cat's Locals Only show. Also, some Incubus coming up. We got Cage, the Elephant, Face to Face, 3 Days Grace, Black Keys, and more right after this on K-Rock.